Are we you, killer tofu?
Nah, dude, it's banging on a trash can.
But that doesn't tie into the Wii U.
Banging on a banjo. One little voice is calling me. One little voice is... That was the best song ever.
Craig Lipinski here with episode 43 of the TV Unless Video Game Podcast or TVUnless.net. Today we have Seth Castellum.
Hey folks, Craig Lipinski here. That's what you sound like. That's what you sound like to me. I mean, hi. Hi everybody!
Are you saying white people all sound the same?
Yes.
That's racist.
Like, they sound like me.
We also have Chris Dunn. Who might just be the whitest person on this podcast.
Probably.
I love that guy. So, like, I'm just staring at him and the Fonz right now.
Because I wish the Fonz was here with me.
Honestly, you look cooler than the Fonz in that picture.
You don't have to lie.
I sort of feel like the Fonz is, like, the opposite of cool. Like, I feel like he's, like... He's like a caricature of like cool, which puts him in like non-cool territory.
Yeah, I'm impressed that like they painted this metal or got different colored metal or whatever for this Fonz statue. Because
the bronze Fonz.
He's like appropriately colored though. Like he's got a dark jacket on, he has a white shirt, he has his pants that are bluish. They went all out on this statue.
What a weird like statue to have.
It's really weird, yeah.
You know, Chris, you know what we have in New London now, across from the train station? We have, like, this giant fucking, like, whale tail coming up out of the ground. Like, this huge, like, sculpture of, like, a whale tail. And it sprays water, like, everywhere. And it's, like, not a fountain. It just sprays it on the ground. Like, just this whale tail. I don't know.
I think that might be, like, a waste of water.
I mean, well, because you know, I live near the city called New London, which is absolutely nothing like its namesake. It's a piece of shit.
That's about right.
And it's right on the Thames, too. It's not on the Thames. It's on the Thames.
Oh, that's classy.
Oh, yeah. Totally recognized. And they're going through, like, this like, reinvigoration-like project where, like, they're trying to make things, like, nice, but it's, like, still New London, and some guy I went to high school got, like, stabbed and killed there, like, a few months ago. Like, New London, you stay classy.
Did they dump his body into the Thames?
No, they let him crawl away dying. Yep.
Did Happy Days take place in Milwaukee?
Yes, it did.
Okay, at least that makes sense then.
I don't think we have whales here, so I'm not so sure about the tail.
Did they put that by, like, that big painting? Is that still there?
Yeah, that painting's still there. And, that painting's so funny, too. It's like New London desperately trying to, like, cling to culture. Like, what is that painter's name? Like, Wyland or something like that?
Yeah.
He was doing, like, a painting tour, painting, like, buildings, like, I'm like, man, this is, like, 15 years ago? How long has that painting been there?
A million years ago.
And he happened to stop in New London for God knows why. Like, New London's like, please paint us a painting. And Wyland's like, okay, well, this place is a piece of shit, but I guess I'll put one up. And he did one, like, really quick. But the building wasn't primed. It wasn't set up for that. So, like, the whole thing was, like, you know, peeling away from the side of the building after a few years. So, like New London keeps hiring people, like, oh, my God, fix it. You know, like, it's not even, like, a Wyland painting anymore because so many people
are paying
for it.
Is this sperm whales?
Yeah, shit like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I type in New London mural, and there's only one.
There is just the one.
Yep.
It's not by Sarge's. It's by the train station. The sculpture, the whale tail.
Oh, okay.
They put, like, this little, like, I don't know, like, little... Not really a park or something, but just a little, I don't know, common area across the street there. I don't know. Like, no one's going to go there. What are you doing, New London?
Well, maybe people will get off the train and say, hey, this looks nice.
The only people who go to, like, New London go to, like, Bank Street to get, like, drunk. Like, that's all it
is. Yeah, I know.
And apparently die. Like, they get stabbed, so...
Like, is that their choice, though? It's not there. They're not like going there to die.
I don't know. If you go to New London, you're seriously you're putting that option on the table. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Sounds like a lovely town.
It could have been. I'm sure at one point it was. And it could be a lovely town if it wasn't so fucking terrible. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm sure, I'm offending like everyone who like lives in New London. Although none of them, I'm sure, listen to this podcast.
I hope they do.
I hope they do. Your town is terrible. Mine isn't much better, but you can come over here and live with me.
So, that's how much we hate New London.
2 out of 3 of us, anyway.
Yeah, now fuck that place. I hate it, too.
Yeah.
Damn sperm whales all over this mural.
Actually, my week sucked, because work sucked. It was a really bad work week. But, you know, I tweeted this, and, like, yesterday was a really good day. I actually didn't think about it. Yesterday was a really good day. I sat out by the pool, I worked at a comic book store, and then I closed the bar. That's awesome. Like, who doesn't dream of a day like that?
Most people?
Yeah, anyone over the age of, like, 16, I guess. I don't know. It was a good day, though. I had a good day. Although we had a Magic the Gathering tournament going on.
Would you say it was an Ice Cube level of a good day?
I don't follow this, this comparison.
Today was a good, it's an Ice Cube song.
Oh.
What? All right.
I don't listen to hip hop.
God. This was like an old song, though.
With the hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin'.
This is early 90s. I don't know how you could not listen to it.
I probably have. I'm not connecting the dots. Sorry.
All right. So white.
What about you, Seth? What did you do? Did you garden?
What did I not do is the question. No, I don't know. I had a friend from the interweb come down, and he got me and another friend into some concert that was
probably some old people's concert, wasn't it?
Yes! You know him too well. Like, he's all like, yeah, it's some punk band. This was like a geriatric funk band.
They came out like walkers and shit. They got the little tennis balls on the feet. They come shuffling out.
Basically. And nobody there was like under 40 except for us. So.
I love Caleb. Here's to Caleb, though. I hope he's listening to this. We love you, Caleb. But you're like an old man in like a 21-year-old's body.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah, and then I had to, like, drive him around today trying to find a Kinko's, which we gave up on.
A Kinko's?
Yeah.
Why?
He has to print out, like, a concert ticket for another old person concert, I'm sure, that he's going to, like, at Palm Beach.
We don't have any Kinko's around here.
No?
No. Actually, no, there's a funny story. Actually, you're not going to fight it. You're going to make fun of me for knowing this, but the show Gilmore Girls takes place in Connecticut. And one episode made reference to a Kinko's in my town, but there's no Kinko's here.
Oh my god, they're so inaccurate.
I know. And I love how they pronounce New Haven. Like, we call it New Haven. Like, it's like one word. It's a New Haven. They're like, New Haven, not like the Old Haven. Do some research, Gilmore Girls. Fuck!
My roommate in college did that. He'd call it New Haven, and I always thought that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never pinpoint why it was, and that's exactly why it is. He pronounces it like it's two words.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense. No.
I don't even know. New Haven.
Yeah, New Haven.
New Haven.
Yeah, I don't emphasize the new, because it's just like New London. It's like New London. It just rolls. Not like New London.
Not like New Mexico. It's New Haven.
When I was in California, I went to the set of Stars Hollow. I'm like, wow, it's like Connecticut away from Connecticut.
You're the set of what?
That's a town. Listen, Dana watches Gilmore Girls. Well, she watches it. She doesn't watch it now, but this is how I know these things.
Yeah, I bet.
But
it's all Dana, right?
It is. Actually, well, I bought all the DVD sets, but I bought them for her.
Here we go. You bought them for her.
Actually, I exchanged money for Gilmore Girls DVD sets. We have them all. I haven't watched a single, like, episode.
Yeah, I know Dana's like, oh, God, Gilmore Girls again? You're like, yes, babe. This
is is she going to pick Dean? I don't know.
Why are we talking about Gilmore Girls? What the fuck?
I don't know.
You
Chris,
know,
how have you been? Shut the fuck up, Seth.
You got us on this. Chris, what have you been up to in Milwaukee?
I've been watching Dawson's Creek, and they keep saying Worcester.
Worcester.
No, they do that, actually, but I've been having a pretty good week.
Why do people know these things? I don't know, like, anything about Gilmore Girls or Dawson's Creek.
Because all you do is sleep in Garden.
Fuck you. Honestly, like, 90% of the texts I get are people asking me if I'm awake.
So, hey, when I IM'd you, I said, did you just wake up? I did
yeah,
not have to.
Exactly. On Skype, Chris was like, did you just wake up? Yeah. So. And I didn't. I did not. So, fuck it.
Lying.
Go ahead. What about Dawson's Creek?
Nothing about Dawson's Creek. Moving on. Can't believe I brought that. Anyway, I finally got my promotion at work.
Yeah.
Officially. Woo! I don't have to be all, I hope I get it. I hope I find out something anymore. So.
So do they let you choose the colors on the patterns now?
Exactly, yeah. I finally, you know, I got this, like, letter saying, oh, we would like to promote you, and I got a raise and all this stuff, so it's finally, you know, I'm very happy about that. Other than that, let's see, we booked our hotel room for our honeymoon in January, which is pretty cool.
Where's that?
Disney World.
Disney World, again?
You're going to let her have that box of pens or what?
All right. I did read those.
I'm going to let her have every box of pens.
So
I keep forgetting that people actually like plan weddings
like
after they become engaged.
I don't
can
know
you say
what
that again? You said. All talking over each other.
I know.
You go first.
Who's you? There's three of us.
Anybody.
Oh.
Everyone.
I just said I keep forgetting that people actually plan their weddings after becoming engaged.
Yeah. It wasn't my choice.
Oh. Yeah, because we've been engaged for, like, going on 4 years now.
That's a long time, seriously.
Yep.
Get on that, bro.
The only reason why I would get married at this point so I can stop calling her fiancé. Like, I hate that word. Fiancé.
Make up a new word.
This is my life partner.
Yes. I like it. Especially since Dana's a unisex name, so.
No, it's a girl's name that, like, dudes, like, misappropriated.
All right, if you say so. I'm pretty sure, like, I heard of Dana Carvey and stuff before I saw any chick Dana's.
Excuse me, in Ghostbusters, her name is Dana Barrett.
You're right. All right, whatever.
Anyway, Chris had good news, and we're like, Ghostbusters, Dana Barrett!
Who cares? I'm hunting.
Take a lot, guys. It rained all over my parade.
Would you say it's like the Electric Town Parade?
Exactly.
Okay.
It is the Electric Town Parade.
Do they still do that? I think they, like, switched it to boats here at Disneyland.
Really?
Probably because
yeah.
It costs, like, $8 million to fucking power that thing.
Actually, they may have gotten rid of it. I mean, they got rid of it completely for a while, and then I don't even know what they do with it. I never
liked
it. I just go on rides because everybody.
Yeah, I think they just recently brought it back, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, let's get on somebody else's topic. Come on.
I think that's everything. So,
news. Microsoft has announced their games for Summer of Arcade 2011. It looks like we got some pretty good ones in here. We got Toy Soldiers Cold War. Has anyone played the Toy Soldiers games? I think there was one before this, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which I played at PAX East, and it's sort of Metroid-ish. I actually kind of like that. I was very confused because they didn't really. I just picked up someone else's game. Like, they just, like, left me there. I'm like, oh, I'll figure this out, I guess. Fruit Ninja Connect, which I am sort of interested in, depending on the price. But I could go for virtually chopping things in my living room.
You could realistically chop things in your living room.
I'll be sitting there, like, chopping, like, fake fruit Dana's making, like, dinner in the kitchen. Like, why don't you come out here and, like, actually, like, make food? Fuck you, honey. I'm earning achievement points.
Yeah. What? That's funny.
We got Bastion, which has been highly anticipated. It's like an action role-playing game with like this narrator that like reacts to things that you do, and the narrator sounds so good.
What?
Makes me drop my panties. I don't know.
The narrator sounds so good. That's your comment on the game.
It is.
Fuck it, that narrator.
Because I didn't get a chance to play. It was at PAX East, but it was constantly mobbed, and you wait in line so much to play these games. It's ridiculous. You do like more waiting in line. Like, oh yeah, staring at the back of some guy's head was my favorite game at PAX East.
Oh, dude, that's what you need. That's why you need the press pass. Do you have a press pass?
Yeah, it doesn't let you cut. I mean, unless you make an appointment to cut. You have to if you make an appointment, they'll probably cut you. But like,
I don't think you phrased that right.
Which doesn't always happen. Like, you can have an appointment, and like you can just be like, oh, where is everybody? This is stupid. Like, my appointment for Earth Defense Force, like, D3 totally dropped the ball on that one. There was like, I guess like the game's producer was supposed to talk to me and stuff. Instead, I talked to like some PR guy because the producer wasn't there. He's like, oh, I think he went to lunch or something. I'm like, oh, I'll be sure to reflect this in my review.
Producer is a flake.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks. So you have the potential to get but I heard like a lot of people were tweeting like Tech McCoy was screwing over like people like at E3. Like they're supposed to, I forget who they're supposed to talk to, and every single I saw people like at replying like a ton of people like each other like on like Twitter that like they were all told they could talk to this person, and every single time they showed up like that person wasn't there.
Maybe he had the runs or something.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're sick. These places are like petri dishes of like disgusting viruses and bacteria.
Yeah, it could have been something legit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they should have said that. Like, oh, sorry, he's taking a shit. Maybe a little more tact than that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, probably like he's feeling ill.
Yeah. He's a little under the weather. And then the final game we have here is From Dust, which is from, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Eric Chahi? Kai? I don't know. I've never heard it. I've always read it. I know who he is. I've never heard it pronounced aloud. He created Another World, or Out of This World was it also called, I think?
Oh, yeah. I think I had a PAL version of that called Outer World or something.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. So he's working on this From Dust, like, God game. So that has the potential to be cool. So actually, all of these I'm actually pretty interested in, except for Toy Soldier. Sorry, Signal Studios. I don't know.
But I haven't been following any of these games. I don't know what any of them are.
I haven't either.
I wrote a preview on an Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. Come on, guys. Like, you're supposed to read my stuff.
When did you write this preview?
When I played it at PAX East.
Oh, yeah, screw that.
In fact, I even linked it in this article that I'm reading from right now.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, hey, it says here, and you could click it because it's blue.
Yeah, but that game's really good. Bastion looks great.
Oh, no, I have seen this game.
I have high hopes for From Dust. Fruit Ninja just looks like mindless fun. So I think this is a pretty solid lineup here. I'm still waiting for, I can't remember what it was called. It's like that combination like RPG tower defense game coming out. A couple magazines just did reviews on it. They released it on iOS first. Dungeon Defenders, that's it. Because that looks really awesome. And like I enjoyed it on like iOS, but like it feels very clunky to play on the touchscreen. Because it's like a full like console quality game, but you're sitting there like hitting a million touch buttons, like your screen's so cluttered because it really is a console game. But I hope that
everyone sees something.
What's that?
I don't know. I'm kind of getting burnt out on tower defense stuff.
Well, I mean, what it is basically you have like a map. It's like horde mode or whatever, and you fight off like waves of like bad guys. But like it's like tower defense in that like your spells erect like turrets and blockades, and you can upgrade. But you can also jump out and like hack and slash and kill monsters yourself, and then your character's persistent. You can upgrade it with new pieces of armor. Like, there's also, like, loot. So it has a lot of, like, these different ideas that come together, and they come together really well. I'm really excited for the console version of the game, simply because I can control it a lot better. But it is a really good game. It is highly recommended once it comes out.
All right. I'll think about it.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know about this Craig guy recommending it, though.
I have good taste. I have impeccable taste in games. I don't know what you're talking about. So the PlayStation Vita, which this week's topic is E3, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But as a news blurb here, it was priced. So $250 for the base model, Wi-Fi only, and $300 for Wi-Fi and 3G. Although no pricing on the actual like monthly 3G plan, which is exclusive through AT&T here in the U.S. And you could feel the anger in that room when that was announced.
There was like disbelief and laughter, like AT&T.
People loathe AT&T, but I gotta be honest, like I've never had a problem with them.
I haven't either.
Never.
I've had them for years and no problems. So.
Yeah. Well, I hear, like, in bigger cities, like, they're not able to keep up with the bandwidth, like, maybe, like, because I live in the middle of nowhere. But, like, I think that says something, too, the fact that they have, like, I have, like, full bars right now in the middle of nowhere. Like, that's got to count for something, so.
Yeah.
So, how much money are they going to be losing on this thing?
Yeah. So I asked that, like, in the comments, like, I'm sure they're losing a lot. I feel like they were probably aiming for a $300, like, base 350 3G model.
Uh-huh.
That's
what I was expecting.
Right.
That's what I was expecting, yeah.
And I think that they're taking an even bigger cut than normal. That would be my guess, you know, on this, to be even more competitive with the 3DS.
They're going all out on this shit. They want that market.
They do, and honestly, I'm in. I'll be getting a 3G model, $300, because that's what I planned on spending anyway. And I don't know if I'll ever activate. Like, I have a 3G iPad, but I've never turned it on. So... it's just nice that it's there. But I'll definitely be getting this day one. It said it's launching before, was a holiday season, 2011, this year, you know, so that's, I'm psyched.
Yeah, for that price, I mean, easy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wasn't clear on the launch lineup. Because, like, a lot of people are saying, like, oh my god, we got Uncharted, we got Wipeout, we have, you know, fucking every game ever, and I'm like... I don't know, like, because, like, they'll announce a bunch, they'll, like, show off a bunch of games, it doesn't mean they're ready for launch, so I was really unclear on the launch games, but my outlook is this, if Little Deviants and Wipeout are available at launch, and I can get this thing for $300, fucking sold.
I'm pretty sure they've said that Uncharted is a launch title, but I'm not sure beyond that.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in Uncharted as well, but I'm more interested in... Like, I love Wipeout on handhelds because it just makes sense. I think racing games in general make sense on handhelds. They're just very quick, and you can pick them up or put them down. It doesn't really matter. And Little Deviants, to me, looks so awesome because it shows that, like, yes, this touch panel on the back makes sense, and there are applications for this. So I'm really excited for Little Deviants as well. And Uncharted looks good, too. So, you know, all three of those games are available at launch. I mean, that's incredible. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm going to get one, I think, but probably not at launch because, as I said earlier, I'm getting married in January, so don't know how much money I'll have at that time. But, I mean, you know, for $250, that's a lot cheaper. That's cheaper than I expected, and there's definitely some good games coming, so I'm sure I'll have one sooner or later.
So that's definitely very awesome. And, I actually literally burst out laughing. I was by myself, but I burst out laughing when, like, Kaz was like... So we got cross-game chat, and I'm like, what? Shit, the PS3, what's up, man?
He's trolling.
Well, we don't know. The PS3 could get it before the end of the year.
It might get it. Here's a handheld, though, with it right out the gate.
What I heard is a lot of those features are... The PS3 and the games that run on it are just not designed to handle those features. Like that cross-media bar in-game... I heard that they basically had to, like, break shit to get that in there. Because it just wasn't designed to be there. And that's their problem with cross-game chat. It's just the system was not designed to handle it. And they'll probably never have it.
Weak.
Yeah.
Geek.
We have a limited edition Xbox 360 for Gears of War 3. It's red. It's with some black. It's got the omen on it.
It's got a skull.
And some similarly branded controllers, which will be sold separately, too.
And it says Gears of War on it.
Yes, it does. It does say Gears of War. I want a Slim. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see... You know, Microsoft is giving people, like, whose 360s bomb the latest update, like, free, like, Slims. I'm going to hook up my old 360 in the closet and see if it bombs the update.
Are they really doing that?
I'm going to do that. I don't care. Yeah, because apparently it part of what the update does is enable a new kind of like disk to be read, and some of the older 360s can't handle it. So they can detect that error over live, and they go, "Oh, here's your free system." And so I'm going to do that. Look, I got two 360s. One of them's old. I ain't gaming nothing. I just, you know.
yeah. Why not? Definitely.
I wish I could do that. Mine updated fine.
I don't know how old it has to be. Like the one I have upstairs in the closet is, it was actually one they sent back to me because the first one I bought obviously red ringed.
Obviously.
This is like the refurb they sent back to me. But the problem it was having, the reason why I bought a brand new one, so fuck it, I'm not dealing with Microsoft again. It's like the drive was going, like sometimes it would open and sometimes it wouldn't, and sometimes it would play my discs and sometimes it wouldn't. So like it still kind of works, but like not enough for me to want to like keep it around.
Right.
So shoved it in the closet. Now we'll see if it can actually do something for me.
Well, but, I hope you get your I hope you get your Slim.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Now, why'd you sound like Curly right now from the Three Stooges?
Sweetly.
Well, thanks a lot.
I blame Skype.
You blame what?
I blame Skype. I blame Skype.
Wise guy.
Nintendo is doing a bunch of shit for Zelda's 25th anniversary. Link's Awakening on the 3DS eShop, we got that. We're getting a free port of Four Swords from the Game Boy Advance version on the DSiWare shop. So, like, if you have a 3DS or a DSiWare, or DSi, sorry, you'll be able to download it, so that's pretty cool. They didn't say whether they're including online or not, and I hope that they are. I mean, it's free, so I guess you can't expect too much, but I hope they're including online with that.
I wonder if they'll bother.
What's that?
I said I wonder if they'll bother with it.
Yeah, I don't think they will. You know, I've been playing, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I was playing, like, a ton of Link's Awakening DX on the 3DS. And, like, they have the camera shop in there, and, like, they have, like, all the Game Boy printer, like, stuff in there. Like, that's going to confuse people, like, print. Why is it not printing? What's happening here? I don't know.
you can't, like, save it to your SD card or something?
I haven't seen that option.
They went the extra mile with Pokemon Snap.
They did. I would assume they just would have taken, like, the print, anything referencing printing the stickers out. At the very least. But nope, it's in there. It's in there. What else we get? They also said that Ocarina of Time is part of the 25th anniversary celebration. I think what they're doing is they're taking things they're already doing and calling it part of the 25th anniversary celebration.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I got.
They do have some interesting things. They do have a gold-branded Wii remote coming out. That's pretty neat. And they're having live concert events for Zelda music, which are probably going to be very expensive and sell out very quickly.
Yeah.
Damn nerds.
And they won't be coming to New London, I'm sure.
Oh, they don't want to get stabbed.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What else are they doing? What am I missing? So they're releasing, they're releasing a soundtrack, a CD for that live music event. And they're also giving away a soundtrack to Ocarina of Time for people who register the 3D version on Club Nintendo.
Yep.
Did I miss anything?
Skyward Sword?
I don't know. Yeah, there's another one. Yep, yet another one.
They said they're releasing a Zelda on every current system they have.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. I think it's neat. I think it's neat that they're doing a bunch of, like, little things. But it number one, like I said, it feels like they're just shoehorning stuff they're already doing in with this. And number two, I don't feel like there's any, like, one thing that you can say, like, this is what the 25th anniversary is all about. You know, I kind of wish, like, there was one, like, box set or something.
Yeah. Wants a CD full of sound effects.
We might be getting that.
And some ROM dumps, though, too. He wants the ROM dumps.
Yeah, well. Because, I mean, I feel like the concert event was, like, the big thing. Like, this is your big Zelda thing, but, like, not everyone's going to be able to go to that.
Yeah.
And Zelda's not just about music, either, so I kind of wish that there was something a bit bigger rather than... I like those small things, but I kind of wish there was a little bit more to it than that.
Do you know what they should have done?
What's that?
Release some Tingle games over here. The DS Tingle games.
I have the first Rosie Rupeland don't know if you want that released over here. I don't know if you want that over here.
Is it disturbing?
No, it's just weird.
Then I want it.
Not even, like, weird in a good way. Like, weird, like, why did someone make this game? Like, I can deal with weird.
Still want it.
Okay.
Did you see the second game looked completely bizarre.
It did. But I don't think that even came out in Europe. I think that was Japan only.
No, yeah, that was Japan.
And they also have Tingle's Balloon Fight.
That was Club Nintendo,
yep.
Wasn't it?
In yep.
Japan.
I got a couple of those I'm watching on eBay. I'm going to grab one of those. And they also had Navi Trackers in their Four Swords Adventures.
Yes, they did.
Which we did not get. But yeah, it'd be nice if they released some of that over here. We got a game coming out on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network called Awesome Knots. And I saw this in my inbox. Like, I've been getting so many, like, emails lately. Like, I just sort of skim it these days. And I saw this one. I'm like, what is this? And I watched the trailer. And I'm like, holy shit, I want this game. Did you guys watch the trailer?
I watched it. But you said the music's... You said the music,
was inspired by 80s, like, Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, but I think you said it was, like, one of the best theme songs you'd ever heard. I mean, did you even consider Buck Bumble when you said this?
I said, prepare for the catchiest theme song ever, which is clearly hyperbole, but I did not,
You think it's catchier than Buck Bumble?
Do I? I don't, you know what, let's have a contest here.
This is exactly where I wanted it to go.
So, as soon as my browser stops being a piece of shit. What about now? It's time to rock with the Bigger Debug Bumper. What about now? It's time to rock with the Bigger Debug Bumper. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumper. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumper. Okay, so that's Buck Bumble. I mean, obviously.
That was awesome, though.
Too many explosions and shit in that.
Honestly, I think that might be even more like 70s theme song type.
I don't think it goes that far back, but it's a close call. Like, Buck Bumble is fucking classic. But this, I started playing this trailer, like, it left me cracking up. I mean, this can't be real. Like, but this is a real thing. Like, this is someone made this.
It's looks pretty awesome.
It does. I think at the very least, it lives up to its name.
Yeah.
I'm pretty interested in it.
You would be.
I would be. All right, so I guess we can move into this week's topic, E3. What three? Do you guys like video games at all?
Did something happen this past week?
Yes, it did.
No, I saw stuff.
You saw... I'm talking to, like, Seth. We're posting all these news stories to, like, the site, and I'm like, hey, Seth, you got to do some work? And he's like, yeah, for my place of employment. I'm like, lazy fuck.
I was at work when you said that to me. I don't know.
Yeah, but there you are, like, watching conferences. That must be cool.
Hey. Shut up. I eventually threw some stuff up, and I, like, put in pictures for stuff, too. So.
Did you really? Okay, good, thanks. Because I was, normally I do this kind of stuff during my downtime at work, but I had no downtime this week. Like, I really wanted to write that Wii U piece, you know, the article that I did eventually end up writing, like, the day it was announced, but I'm too busy. My job is turned, like, physical labor. Like, I'm unracking servers. I'm like, I'm not built for this.
Muscles.
I have a strong mind and a weak back. This isn't fair.
Yeah, I only threw in pictures for, like, the Nintendo stuff, though, because I was lazy and I just pulled it all off their site real fast.
That works.
Yeah, so I think, like, some of the other articles are barren still.
We'll get to that, but if you guys want to check out some aggregated news, you know, give a look at the site. It's separated by platform and then after platform by publisher, which, you know, we had a bit of a conversation about how we were going to handle this, and honestly, I think that's the best way. Like, you go to, like, Joystick or Kotaku or something like that, you're sifting through 8 million fucking stories because they just fire hose everything. They just throw things up there for the clicks, and I don't give a shit about clicks so much as I care about, like, making sure our readers get the news that's... You know, in a convenient way. I think that's probably the best way. So
and I came up with that formatting. So
he did, yeah. Seth came up with that formatting, this specific formatting. But yes,
I took Craig's idea and I made it good.
Yeah, it was terrible at first, but the Midas touch saved it. You know, let's start off with like EA and Ubisoft's conferences. You know, the publisher conferences. Personally, I was not psyched about anything like EA had.
No, I was watching EA's on my lunch break, and then they started going to the sports thing, and I was like, all right, time to go back to work. I didn't even... And then their BioWare stuff,
Not a fan of that. They spent a lot of time on Battlefield. I know people like Battlefield, so I'm not gonna, and honestly, I don't really have a strong opinion on Battlefield one way or another. But, like, the footage they chose to show during that live play, that boring fucking tank thing, did you guys watch that?
I missed the tank.
I was falling asleep. They're just sort of, like, going, like, 2 miles per hour over the sand, like, oh, great, this is totally realistic. And I'm sure some people will dig that, but I was watching. I'm like, man, this is boring.
You know, what reminds me of tanks, submarines, fucking boring.
What?
Nothing. Just go on.
Oh, okay.
Move on without me.
What was that racing game where you get out of the car? Was that Need for Speed? Like, was that a Need for Speed game?
That was a Need for Speed game.
On the Run, I think it's called.
And for some reason, you get out and you run, and then you just...
Because
like,
everyone was clamoring to get out of their cars in Need for Speed. Like, everyone wanted to do that.
They, like, lost me so hard with this. And then, like, the dude's just, like, mashing X to run and then pushing triangle every once in a while.
It was all quick time events.
Yeah.
So then EA said, like, oh, well, it constitutes less than 10% of the main game. So let me get this straight. You put in a feature that nobody wanted...
No.
It's completely half-assed because it's all just a bunch of QuickTime events. And then it doesn't even make up any significant portion of the game. So why did you fucking bother? I'll tell you why. I mean, it's for the bullet point on the back of the box. I mean, that's really the only reason why that's there.
Yeah. Well, they're like, had to mix it up. It's something different.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a problem with a lot of, like, AAA development, where, like, they'll just take any old idea, whether it makes sense, whether it fits, whether it's good, and just toss it in the game and say, like, look what our game has, whether it's good or not. I feel that happens very often.
And this did not look good to me at all.
No, not at all. Some of, like, the scripted events, like, the graphics were very nice. Like, some of the lighting going on while I was just driving through, if anything, I can praise that. That looked good. The actual gameplay, not so much. I really have no interest in Mass Effect. I don't think you really care much for it, Seth. Is that right?
Definitely not.
Do you play? What's that?
Not my cup of tea. Play what?
Not my cup of tea. Now I was going to ask Chris if he plays Mass Effect.
I still have not tried 1 or 2, even though I own both of them. Yep.
All right. Well. There you go. Yeah, for me, I know a lot of people are interested in Mass Effect and in Battlefield, but honestly, EA didn't do anything for me. Ubisoft seemed like a lot more of the same. Like, I think actually if you tally up on all these conferences, if you tally up all the games that involve shooting at things or driving in cars, I think you would come up with like 3/4 of like every game shown.
There was a lot of shooting.
Yeah, it was all pew, pew, pew or vroom, vroom, vroom. Like, that's all like that was going on.
But Ubisoft had the Rayman Origins.
Yes, and I am psyched for that because that looked fantastic.
It looked super good.
I can't wait for Rayman. And it sounds like it's hitting like every system ever. It's now a retail game, I think, instead of a download. I think it was originally supposed to be like an episodic download, but now it's like a retail game. And
yeah,
there were
definitely
like,
retail.
Yeah, and there were rumblings of like a Wii version and like a 3DS version. So bring it on. Bring it on, Ubisoft. I can take all the Rayman you can throw at me. I'm excited.
I'm super excited.
I was also interested in Far Cry 3.
I miss that trailer.
I like Far Cry because, I mean, yeah, it's got guns or whatever. I mean, I don't rule out games just because you shoot at things. I like shooting at things, too. But I liked it because it's just not another, like, corridor shooter where, like, you're shuffled from point A to point B to watch cutscenes. Like, it's a little more open. You have a little more freedom. It seems like there's a little more creativity involved, not only from the development end, but also on your end as a player, you can be a little more creative in how you play.
So. Actually, no, I did see one of the dudes, he, like, snuck up behind a guy, pulled his knife from, stole the knife from the dude, slit the dude's throat, and then, like, threw the knife at another guy.
Fucking awesome, I hope I can do that in the game. Yeah. If I can, like, win.
That was like some Brock Samson shit, if anybody watches Venture Bros. Nobody watches Venture Bros,
yeah,
all right?
It's chirping, yeah.
Nope. You lost me.
But those two games, you know, I mean... Most other things Ubisoft showed off, I wasn't that hot on. But those two games saved like their conference for me. I was really psyched about that. What else? What else did they show?
I don't know.
Awesome.
What did they show?
I don't know. That's the problem when all your games like look alike. Like it's totally safe development, but like no, I can't. Here we are recording a podcast. I can't recall anything else. The only things that stood out to me were the things that stood out.
Yep.
Fuck everything else anyway. Then we have Microsoft's conference. And that was the most yawn-inducing thing ever.
I was working during this, so I didn't watch it. And then everybody told me not to watch it, so I didn't watch it.
It was a colossal waste of your time. Basically, Kinect and Halo. Like, that was their entire conference. And that's all Microsoft has anymore. I love the 360 as a platform. I love the controller. I love Live. But Microsoft as a publisher, as a game studio, has got to get their fucking act together because they have no focus. They don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore.
Actually, that Halo 4 trailer did sort of get me kind of hyped.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, like, maybe Halo. Like, Halo has, to me, like, Halo's like a cultural thing. I like Halo games, but I'm not excited for them until other people are excited for them. So that's usually closer to, like, launch. Does that make sense?
Sure. Kinda. Just sort of going with the crowd there, huh, Craig?
I guess so. At least I am going with the crowd on something I do like. I don't dislike Halo. But I mean, like, I don't know about the remake. Maybe Halo 4. The first Halo was not that great. It's kind of a mediocre game in my opinion.
I still think it's better than Halo 2.
We're going to disagree there, Seth, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's what makes TV Less awesome. We are a melting pot of opinions. But mine counts more, so.
Yeah, whatever.
And then, you know, I have some interest in the Fable Kinect game. Because it's Fable, I enjoy Fable. But if it's like a shitty game just with the Fable name attached, obviously I'm not gonna get into it just because it is Fable. Just it has my attention because it's Fable.
Did you hear about this whole on Rails debate with Peter Molyneux?
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
I mean, it sounds like it's on. He was having journalists at E3 like sign a wall. Saying that it wasn't on Rails or something.
I didn't hear about
really?
That.
Yeah. I need to... Actually, I was going to... Because he said he, like, regretted showing it off as it was. I was going to do a little article called The Regrets of E3 because there was a few people...
Seth. He comes up with ideas and then does nothing with them.
No, I'm going to do this one. This one's easy. Because there was, like, a square in E3 regretting, like, the lack of Japanese games that his company was showing off and... Iwata was, like, regretting not explaining the controller. So, yeah, I'm going to have a regrets of E3 article. And
I still really hope you do that Batman and Robin review.
That's happening. I got my friend coming over to record some footage with me today.
Oh, fantastic.
And so that's going to be a video review, too, which I haven't done in forever.
I'm psyched.
Yeah. Look for those by the end of the summer, folks.
this one's giving out quick. This is all three console Batman and Robin games.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be good stuff.
Anyway, Peter Molyneux, this wall.
This wall, I love. Well, the game's on rails. He showed it off as on rails. But then he said, no, the game's not actually on rails. Yet he forgot to mention this to every single person ever until people started complaining about it. So then all of a sudden he's just like, no, this game's not on rails, I promise you. And then he had – then he just, like, started writing on a wall, like, this game's not on rails. And then he had, like, journalists sign their name.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
– wow.
I respect Peter Molyneux for a lot. I think that guy gets way more crap than he deserves. But, like, then he does, like, weird shit like this. I'm like, Peter Molyneux, not even I can defend you on this one, bro. Yeah. This is stupid.
I mean, there's no problem if it's a good on-rails game. I don't even know,
oh,
like,
yeah,
why
absolutely, still... yeah. I mean, it could be on-rails and it could still be fun, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested. I'm interested in the idea of, like, casting spells and playing. To me, it seemed like a rail shooter in the Fable universe, but with spells instead of guns, and you play to connect. That could still be interesting. That still has my attention, I think.
Yeah, I don't... That sounds fun. I don't know what, obviously, people, diehard Fable fans are going to be like, no, it's not Fable. You know?
See, I'm a diehard Fable fan, but it's if it's Fable, it's Fable. Like, what the fuck do I care?
You're reasonable, Craig.
Oh.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
He's right, though. Sometimes it's hard to discuss video games with other people when you're reasonable because a lot of people just want you to pick a side adamantly whether it makes sense or not.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be aggressive about one stance or another. And I say let people play whatever the fuck they want to play. I'm still going to call it mediocre, but you can play it if you like. I'm not going to call you stupid for playing. So, yeah, Kinect, and not even really that much interesting for Kinect. I was expecting to see, the new Steel Battalion. We didn't really see that. So, I was hoping for more compelling Kinect experiences. I think what happened is, like, Sony and Microsoft both saw Nintendo with their motion stuff. So, they came out with their motion stuff, and they could do the hardware part of it. But they don't know what the fuck to do with the software part of it.
Yeah.
They don't know. Nintendo knew exactly what the fuck they were doing. These guys are like, oh my God, let's rush to the market with these machines. And they got the hardware that Kinect and Move are really nice pieces of hardware. But there's really not a whole lot of software to go with it.
Yeah.
Which I think brings us to Sony's conference. They highlighted a lot of Move aspects. But I think the problem with Sony, actually people might think this is a good thing. I don't agree myself, but it's the fact that a lot of Sony's Move applications are sort of like alternate control methods for more traditional games. And I think a lot of people view that as a good thing, go like, oh, I can choose whether to use a controller or Move. But then my question is, why would you use Move? Like, you really need a game that's built around this controller rather than a game that's built around a traditional controller with those Move controls like ad hoc'd in. That to me doesn't make any sense. It doesn't show the strength of Move. That just shows that Move could be used in Killzone if you really wanted to. Does that make sense?
I think for like some stuff the Move controller could be better, like for aiming and such.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to have it in Killzone. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I would rather see more experiences tailored to Move rather than Move tailored to experiences.
I definitely see what you're saying.
I agree.
So it's cool it's in Killzone, but I want to see more stuff like, well, maybe not more stuff exactly like Heroes on the Move because it's not that great, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
They spent a lot of time talking about Uncharted 3, which I think looks awesome.
Dude, Uncharted 3 looks so good.
I can't wait. Dem boat physics. Oh, man. I can't wait for that game, man. Uncharted 2 is so good. So good. The first Uncharted was pretty good. But it's not until you play the second one that you realize, like, damn, like, this first one, they didn't know what the hell was going on. The second one, they totally nailed it. And,
So good.
Oh, man.
They've got, like, the interactive set pieces down pat now.
Yep. Yeah.
It's, like, literally, like, playing a fucking action movie.
And what's great is that you are playing it. Where, like, if it takes control from your game, unless it's an actual, like, cutscene, but, like,
yeah,
during the
people
course
talking,
of the action, they take control for maybe 2 seconds to show you something really quick, and then you're back in the thick of things. So it's like...
Exactly. That whole ship is, like, sinking, and you're, like, playing through that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think...
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Naughty Dog is really nailing, you know, moving the story, scripted events forward, while not really relieving you of control too much, I think.
Uh-huh.
They're really working hard on that, and I applaud them for that, because video games are an interactive medium. Wrenching control from my hands is not a cool thing. So I'm glad that they're really working hard on that. And one thing that I really liked about Uncharted 2, that they must have worked really hard on that, so I'm assuming it's going to carry over to Uncharted 3, is the pacing. The pacing on Uncharted. There's never a good time to throw down the controller on Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
I could never put down the game. I'm like, I got to keep playing. Pacing was phenomenal. So I'm psyched for Uncharted 3. I was surprised that, like, Sony actually took time out of their conference to talk about Infamous 2. Like, that game comes out, like, tomorrow? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, maybe then they had a... Because then they had the Cole and Street Fighter Cross Tekken or whatever.
Yeah,
Maybe they want to make sure people knew who Cole was.
That could be.
Did either of you pick up Infamous 2? Are either of you fans of Infamous?
I've never even played the first.
Oh, okay.
I thought the first one was good, but, I mean, I would rather wait for a price drop or something to get the second one.
Yeah, I was not. The first one, I go back. I'm hot and cold with it. But, so, the second one's not really. I didn't pick it up. It didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get it, but it's not something I need to get right away.
Yeah. What else did they show on the PS3 side of things?
They had that Sly Cooper trailer.
Oh, yes! Yes! Awesome.
How did you forget this, Craig?
I don't know how I forgot that. I have because I shoved room out of my brain for, like, all this Vita stuff as well. But oh, man. Like, Uncharted 3 and Sly 4, like, awesome.
The art direction, I was like, holy shit. Those skies look like cartoon skies, and I wanted it.
It's not being developed by Sucker Punch, though.
Is it not?
It's being developed by the folks that handled the trilogy on PS4.
All right. Well,
hopefully that leads them to some understanding of the game, and it's really
not.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But I'm psyched for Sly 4. It was really weird. Sly 4 was, like, really awkwardly shoved in there, though. Like, here's a bunch of shit with guns, and then here's a cartoon raccoon. Oh, wait, we haven't shown guns for 15 seconds. Back to the guns.
Yeah, they almost seem, like, embarrassed to show it.
Yeah, yeah. But that was that and Uncharted were, like, the two biggest things that Sony showed, you know, for PS3 for me. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I'm excited. Anything else before we talk about Vita, then? On PS3? I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, nothing too big.
But, yeah, then there's Vita, which is the name for NGP or PSP2. It means life. I'm cool with the name. A lot of people are like, ew, Vita. Like, Velveeta, shells and cheese, but I...
Who said that?
Nobody. I just made it up just now, like, this second. So, but people were not big on the name. I like the name. I mean, I'm not in love with it, but, I mean, it seems like an appropriate PlayStation Vita. I'm cool. It's better than the really sterile NGP or, you know, or sequential PSP2. Like, mm-hmm. I think it actually shows some level of creativity. So I'm cool with that. I like it. We already talked about the price point: $250, $300. Sold. I think that's a really good price point. Really competitive. They're going to lose a lot of money at first, I imagine. But we showed off a bunch of games. I'm really excited for Wipeout. I'm excited for Little Deviants and Uncharted. They showed off versions of Mod Nation Racers and Little Big Planet, which you can edit stuff right there on the touchscreen, which may make me like someone who actually enjoys Little Big Planet's a little better, because it's like, I think it's clunky as shit on a console. Like, derp, let me move my twin sticks around. Like, it doesn't feel right. It's something you need like a mouse or a touchscreen for. And so I may actually make levels. And like Chris pointed out, I may actually have time to make levels. I'm on the go. I can make them right there on the go, save them. Maybe even sync them to the PS3 with these cloud saves that they got going on. So I think that's really cool.
I thought the Mod Nation Racers editor looked super streamlined.
It did look super streamlined. I heard that like someone was playing Mod Nation. They said it was really laggy at this point, though. Like making stuff, like the system like chugs.
I see.
So I mean, but obviously it's still a little ways out, so that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But at this early point, at least it chugs.
Yep.
But no, I'm definitely very interested in Mod Nation and Little Big Planet on that. They showed off this other game, this dungeon crawler called Ruin. And I'm really interested in that as well. I look at a very, very basic like dungeon crawler, which is, it might be fun. I mean, I like dungeon crawling. I like loot fests. I like that stuff. But what's really interesting to me is that you could play it on your Vita, cloud save, and then pick it back up on your PS3.
Which is funny because that's what Hideo Kojima was just like trying to be all awesome about with his transferring.
Yeah.
It's like the exact same thing as his transferring.
Yeah. But I mean, I've always wanted, I get some downtime at work. I don't get a traditional break because it's 12-hour shift and sometimes you're doing work. Well, most of the time you're doing work and then sometimes you're not. So like that's your break. You're technically getting paid for it. And so you can kind of goof off if nothing's happening. And so I play handheld games or I read or whatever at work during those times. And I've always felt like I would be playing a game before I go into work. Like, man, I really wish I could play this during my downtime. And like now that's actually something that's capable, that's something that can happen, I hope it happens more. I mean, I don't want to be purchasing two copies of like all these different games. It'd be nice if they sold it in like some sort of bundle, like, oh, get the Vita and the PS3 version for X dollars or something.
Yeah, I really think they're going to have to do bundles for these because... Yeah.
It's not a barely that appealing economically otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But the concept is amazing, and I'm really psyched for that. Can't think of anything else off the top of my head. You guys have anything else about Vita you want to talk about?
That looks cool and super cheap. I can't think of any other games off the top of my head that were showing off.
Nope, that's cool.
Nope.
I think we hit all the good stuff anyway.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have...
Hang on. Bioshock.
Oh, it's like, yeah, Kevin Levine's like, we're making Bioshock, peace.
Yeah. Now that we've covered that, we can move on.
Dude, Ken Levine was awesome up there, but I was watching that stream on game trailers, and everybody was, like, hating on him.
He seemed very nervous. I don't think he's really, like, that kind of guy. He's a very one-on-one, like, because I've spoken to Ken Levine, like, many times. Well, not many times, several times. And I've watched him in panels, and, like, he's a cool dude, and, like, one-on-one, like, he's a funny, like, really affable guy. I just don't think he's a crowd guy.
I loved him up there. All right. I love the way, like, you could see his train of thought. Like, he, like, gets ahead of himself and stuff. I don't know. I like it. It seems more genuine.
He's definitely a genuine guy. There. Yep, I agree. Yep.
But, yeah, people were hating on him. I was like, no, this guy's awesome.
Yep, Ken Levine rules. So then we have Nintendo. And they obviously revealed Wii U, the successor to the Wii console. And I want to know what you guys think of this new system. What do you think of the Wii U, Chris?
I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, as long as they actually, you know, utilize the touch screen. I mean, they showed some cool ideas in that video. But, I mean, when the Wii was first revealed, you know, with the motion control, I think we all got some great ideas that never quite came to fruition. So,
yeah.
I mean, I hope it's as cool as I think it looks, but, I mean, we should see once we see, you know, actual games for it.
I think that was probably a big problem with the reveal is that, like, there's no real games running on the Wii U. They had these concepts, like, Chase Me and stuff, but they didn't have any, like, real games running for it.
Yeah.
I think that was probably
the biggest problem. I can understand that, because, I mean, you know, they said that they want to focus on the Wii and the 3DS, and...
But they didn't focus on it, though. Like, where were the games
I agree with that, but, I mean, I can see not wanting to get people too excited about that, you know, when it's not going to be out for another year, but I would have liked to see, you know, something.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, I think that's why there's a lot of mixed reactions to the Wii U. I think it seems, honestly, the reaction seems to skew towards the positive, but then you have this skepticism that, because no one's really seeing actual games in practice on this thing. I think if Nintendo came out with the controller... And, like, oh, motherfuckers, here's Mario and here's F-Zero and shit. Like, here it is running on the Wii U. I think the mindset would not just be skewing towards the positive. It would have been overly positive. It's just that when you show it with no games, like, everyone's like, oh, that's a neat idea. What, you know, where is it in practice?
Yeah, I don't think that was planned out the best way at all. They definitely should have shown some, like, games actually running on it instead of just concepts. Because people are fickle motherfuckers. They want everything. They want to see exactly what they're going to be getting. They don't want to see concepts of what it could do.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, though, the idea is awesome. I like this idea because not only is it forward-thinking like the Wii Remote was, it also allows more traditional gameplay methods as well. I mean, developers can choose to ignore the camera or the touchscreen or all this shit if they really want to. Probably not a good idea because that's the selling point of the system, but they could because it's basically a 360 controller as well. And
yeah.
The problem with the Wii Remote is, like, it's a really cool idea, especially the pointer. I really love the pointer in the Wii Remote. But you really only have, like, four buttons immediately at your fingertips, A and B and C and Z. I mean, anything else, you've got to do some gymnastics all over the fucking Wii Remote for, and nobody wants to do that. So with four buttons and some arbitrary gestures, it's not the same, and, you know, I think more traditional games suffered on the Wii because of that.
Yeah.
And Wii U can do that, and then some. So, I said this on Twitter, and I still feel this way. Like, Wii U could be the revolution that the Wii intended to be. Maybe I'm getting
that.
Myself.
No, I can see that easily.
But
just the fact that it could do everything that other controllers can and more already sets it ahead of the pack, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, the developer of Darksiders 2 said that it's a more powerful system than the 360 or PS3. I mean, obviously, without any real games, like, we really can't bench that. But if that is the case, you know, because a lot of people are saying, like, oh, like, this system's coming out now. What happens when Sony and Microsoft come out their next systems? Like, is it going to be, like, the Dreamcast over again? And maybe, but I really feel like just doing things in terms of raw power is probably not the smartest way to go. And at least to me, it's the less interesting way to go. So maybe if, the PlayStation 4 comes out, and yeah, maybe it'll be more powerful. But, like, does anyone look at Uncharted 2 and think, like, man, if only this had more power? Like, nobody does.
The worst Tim the Toolman Taylor ever.
No, that was a pretty good shot. And I don't think so, Tim.
No, God.
I think that, like, if this is more powerful than a PS3, even marginally, I can't find room to complain until there are fucking holograms in my living room. Because I'm not saying we've reached the point where visuals are at their peak. I just think that they're becoming less and less important. And that's why something like this tablet controller is all the more important than pushing more polygons.
Yeah. I mean, Uncharted 2, you know, looks fantastic. I mean, I remember, you know, I don't know what the next generation of systems is going to look like. I mean, it could look better, but I can't imagine, you know, how much better. Whereas, like, you know, when we went from, like, the N64 to the, you know, PlayStation 2 and GameCube, it's like, wow, their hands have actual fingers now. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I can already see the pores and stubble on Nathan Drake's face, man. Like, I don't need much else.
Yeah.
We're reaching the point of...
How much better? Yeah.
Yeah, we're reaching the point of diminishing returns.
Yes, I think that's a good way to put it, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think they were saying that when the Wii came out and, you know, they didn't need the graphics to look that much better. I don't think it was quite true then, but I think we are getting to that point.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, and until there's, like, an incredibly higher definition, like, television standard, until there are holograms, until... It doesn't affect development the way, you know, development costs the way that these systems do. I don't really think that we need anything much more powerful than a PS3. But that's just me. Maybe other people feel differently. You know, maybe they're all about the power, but I'm not. I'm more interested in these unique concepts that Nintendo comes up with. And everyone's like, why is Nintendo worrying about controllers? Like, they always have.
That's what they do.
Nintendo is concerned with how you play. As much as what you play. I mean, obviously games are important. Nintendo I don't think any other publisher puts out as many games at the quality that Nintendo does. No one does. I can't think of anyone. Not even close. So obviously they know games are important, but since the D-pad, since shoulder buttons, since Rob the Robot, the Power Pad, the Super Scope, the Analog Stick, the Rumble Pack, fucking playing Game Boy games on your, you know, GameCube with the link cable, you know, they've always been about how you play. This is not any different. It's just that they have to go radical because what more can you do to a traditional controller other than add motions or add a screen? There's nothing. I think we've reached the end of the rope of what traditional controllers can do for us.
They'll think of something new.
They will. But
they will.
And I applaud them. I'm happy that Nintendo exists for that reason. So.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to go all crazy out with the semi-augmented reality with the controller, or if you're just like using it as a menu for quickly selecting items, I think it's just awesome all around.
There are just so many uses. You don't need a headset. Like, you don't need to buy like separate hardware for this thing. Like, you don't need like one of those shitty Microsoft headsets for like live. You got a microphone and a camera. You got all that shit built right into there.
Yeah, they showed off a little. They showed off the picture chat, the video chat, in one of their videos.
In the video.
So I mean I'm psyched at the ideas of this. Like, I mean, honestly, I think that this controller is a blank canvas. You want to make traditional games, go for it. You want to do something crazy with the camera or the gyro, go for it. And I think, really, if we don't see interesting games with this controller, it's going to be the failings of the third-party developers and publishers, not because of Nintendo. It's all there for them. And if they don't want to do something creative, I think it's because they're too scared of taking risks, which is maybe a fair thing, but if this thing just... If we don't see awesome games on this, it's not because of Nintendo. It's because of them.
There's a bunch of developer commentary videos. It's, like, expanded from what they showed during their E3 press conference, but there's a bunch of developer commentary videos on Nintendo's E3 website. And, like, Fitzcell just, like, easily just, like, popped out just, like, an awesome idea. They're just like, oh yeah, you could have like one person operating on the controller tablet while another person's like driving an ambulance around trying to get the other person patients. It's just like stuff like that that you can't do on other consoles.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like you could be playing like almost like two different games at once with the Wii U because of that. That's absolutely. Fifth Cell is awesome coming up with like unique ideas. I love their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were a bigger studio so they're putting out more stuff. I really do.
At least your stuff is selling now, so...
Yeah, good for them. Actually, on that subject, it seems as of right now... I mean, obviously, the system doesn't exist, so this could change in the next year, but it seems like only one tablet controller can be synced at a time.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, I saw this thing, I'm like, damn, four swords, let's fucking do it! I mean,
everybody said that.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it might be some, technical shortcomings, you know, because this thing is streaming, like, game content, right, to it. So, I mean, that would be so processor-intensive to be streaming shit to four of these controllers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus the main screen, plus the TV.
Yeah, exactly. So, as disappointing as it is, because, I mean, I like the concepts of, like, people playing on the TV with the remotes and one person with the controller, like, doing, like, the Chase Me stuff. Like, I mean, that's simple shit. And I hope they pack that in with the system. Like how the 3DS comes with some simple games. I hope simple games like that come on the Wii. I'm sure they will. I would actually be surprised if Nintendo didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Because I like those simple concepts. I wouldn't buy it in a standalone game, but I like the idea. But I also like the idea of playing with four tablet controllers as well. Just to have the option. And I think cost and processing power will prohibit that.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, they said that they weren't going to even be selling the controller separately.
They would have to. What if it breaks? What if one of my cats pee on it?
Probably have to buy one through them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, through like store.nintendo.com or something.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Wow. I'm psyched. I think the controller is awesome. Does full 1080p high definition over HDMI. It's going to have flash memory built into it, which is, and you can expand it. You can expand through SD cards, USB drives, or a portable hard drive, whatever you want to do. The only thing, I think that's really smart, because that keeps cost down for the base system and then allows people to expand it in ways that they want. You can go to Newegg and get something for cheap and plug it in there.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that sucks about that is it doesn't give developers a baseline to work with. They can't assume that you're going to have a hard drive attached to it.
Yeah.
So they got to pack this thing full, a decent amount. If they can get like 60 gigs of flash memory in there, which isn't unreasonable, I don't think. I think that's very possible. If they can do that, I think we're okay. But we get another, like, another Wii situation. Like, oh, here's your 512 megs of flash memory. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know if they bothered with that. But, I like the expandable hard drive aspect. Do you really think they need, like, 60 gigs built in?
Why not? You can get, like, an iPod Touch with, like, that much.
I don't know. It seems high.
I don't know. It's anything less is just pointless. What are you going to do, like 20 gigs? What is that? What is 20 gigs going to do? Anything less just seems pointless. Especially in this, I mean, we're moving in an era where patching and downloadable content and, you know, download arcade-style games are the norm. They're not the exception. This is not something that you can just treat as a side project.
Do you know what, though? I mean, Microsoft sells 360s without hard drives, and they still have all the arcade things.
Who the fuck buys those 4-gig 360s, though?
Poor people.
People who are going to buy the 250-gig drive after.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think that a lack of high storage necessarily means that...
But here's the problem. You just called 60 gigs high storage.
Well, no, I meant just in general. Any storage, then, I guess. I don't think the lack of storage built in should determine... what publishers and developers are able to put out as far as
downloadable
content. It has on the Wii.
Yeah, it shouldn't, but it has.
But the Wii didn't get their like expandable SD card slot till way later.
I know, but it affected the Wii for its entire life, and I think that here,
but,
because
I mean,
you can't
just
assume what the consumer has. It's gonna be harder to work with.
But with the 360, you can't assume that the consumer has a hard drive.
But certain games still do it. Like Halo does it. Like I don't think you can play like Halo Reach multiplayer or something like that without a hard drive. But that's not that. But that's a totally un-Nintendo like thing to do. They would not do that.
Yeah.
So you really have to have a decent sized baseline, you know, for downloadable content, for patching, and for developers.
I think if they market it clear that it's expandable, you could buy yourself an optional hard drive, then they don't have to do shit. On their own.
Well, how much do you expect? How much flash memory do you think they're going to ship with?
I don't know. It's Nintendo, like fucking half a gig again.
I think 60 is the way to go. But
I could see them doing 20.
I see them doing 22.
I could see 20. Yeah.
I see doing 20, and I think that's unwise. I really do, but apparently Seth disagrees with me.
I don't think it matters. I think the people who want to download a bunch of shit will be savvy enough to know that.
Oh, you're right. I completely agree. Then you can go on Newegg and get an SD card, a flash drive, whatever, for super cheap. Absolutely. The problem is, I think that inhibits. They're going to put restrictions on developers on what they can do. They do it like, oh, WiiWare games can be over 40 megs? 40 megs?
Yeah.
Are you stupid? So they're going to put those kinds of restrictions based on what the console ships with, not with what the consumer can do.
Well, with 20 gigs, I really don't see that many limitations being put on.
Well, I mean, we're obviously just speculating, but I mean, I'm going on Nintendo's past history, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't repeat itself entirely.
We'll see.
Yes, we'll see. Nintendo didn't speak about its online approach at all, but EA seemed enthused by it, and then Ubisoft let it drop that there are no friend codes. It's a single ID for each user, which I was never, you know, with the 3DS with its single friend code, that doesn't perturb me at all. Friend codes allow you to have your own display name because the server doesn't give a crap what the hell you call yourself. So
I don't care about the friend codes. I care about both people having to add each other.
Yes, that has to go for the Wii U. Fuck that. Get that out of here. Stop it, Nintendo. Stop it.
Yeah. People bitch about friend codes, but I mean, I don't think friend codes are the issue.
Right.
You know, if we had, you know, usernames on the 3DS, it still wouldn't be that much better.
Right, because
you know, you still can't send messages, you still can't do voice chat or whatever, you know? So,
yeah.
Friend codes are not the issue, I don't think.
Right. Let's see here. Nintendo showed off a bunch of 3DS games, most of which we already knew were in development.
Except for bum, 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 bum. Boom.
Luigi's Mansion 2.
That is Luigi's Mansion.
Yes.
And I am psyched for that. Did you guys download the 3D trailer on your 3DS for that?
I did.
It looks so fucking good.
It does.
I'm all over this.
I am excited. That was, you know, I mean, that's just great. People are like, we need new IPs, but man, you can take an existing IP that hasn't been around for a while and just just make an awesome game around that. Like, Luigi's Mansion 2, that's great. You know, and the funny thing is, I was not psyched about Luigi's Mansion when it first came out. Because, you know, everyone wanted a Mario game with the game, not Luigi.
Yeah.
And but I think time has been very kind to Luigi's Mansion. And so I appreciate it way more now than I did back when it first released. And I am pumped for a sequel.
And at one of the roundtables, I think Miyamoto said that he got it into production just because he wanted to.
Like, that sounds like Miyamoto.
Yeah, like nobody was like really bugging him at Nintendo. He's like, nah, we're making Luigi's Mansion. This is happening.
That is.
And nice. I love him for it.
Yeah, and Next Level Games is developing.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah.
Cool. This is going to be awesome the whole way around. I'm pumped for that. That looks awesome. Let's see. They showed off Mario Kart with the hang gliders and the, I don't know.
Underwater driving.
I don't know what's up with that, but I'm psyched. You know what? The hang gliders are pretty cool. I don't know about the underwater driving part. That could be cool, too.
No, I'm liking the underwater driving part. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Who cares?
A hang glider, yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. Underwater driving, I am in for that because that is just ridiculous.
That is really cool. I'm just hoping that they tone it down with the blue shells and, like, all that stuff. I mean, it's just wishful thinking because there are probably going to be more blue shells in this game than any other game before. But it's just like, please, Nintendo, it takes so very little to make Mario Kart awesome. Stop making it less awesome.
Even if they had made the blue shells more like the N64 version where it screws over everybody instead of just the first person.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all right. I think that'd be better.
But the also thing with like the N64 version is like you could play an entire cup and never see them.
Yeah.
They're way too close. You see them like three times a race in like.
Yeah, they need to tone down the frequency definitely.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I heard some people. There were some people like on a forum Seth and I are part of, like, were commenting that the game looks like crap, and I don't. They're like, oh, it looks like an N64 game. I'm like, really?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, definitely not. First of all, I don't think the games have ever been all that significantly, like, awesome-looking graphics. Even the GameCube game doesn't look, like, mind-blowing or anything.
No, the N64 one used sprites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
So, yeah, no, I mean, they were never mind-blowing games, but like, I just think people have such weird base. Like, people just don't even remember. Like, boot up an N64 game. You tell me this looks like an N64 game. Try it again, motherfucker. You do it. Watch what happens.
Plus, yeah. This game's supposed to be running at 60 frames per second, even in 3D mode.
In 3D. Yeah. You see the draw distance? Like, when they pop the hang glider, you can see across the entire fucking track. N64 couldn't do that shit.
Nah, I'm impressed by this.
I think it looks good for a Mario Kart game. It looks like the Wii or GameCube versions, I think. I think it looks very comparable to those, and I think that's perfect for a handheld. I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh.
Had some Star Fox action. Obviously, they played a dual barrel roll. That seems... Nintendo's getting all savvy with the interwebs there.
Yeah, I don't know. Once the company acknowledges it, then I don't know if it's like cool anymore.
Right. It's kind of like when what's that fuckface? He Rickrolled everyone on Macy's Day
Parade. Yeah, on the Foster's Imaginary.
Yeah, that was actually I kind of like that. But then I'm kind of glad like the whole Rickrolling phenomenon disappeared after. Like, here's the peak. Like, 'cause everyone agreed this was the peak. This was pretty decent. We're done here.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that was, like, a good way to send it off.
Yeah.
He got people good, too, because it's just, like, started off with some random Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends song, and then all of a sudden he comes out.
Rick Astley, yeah, he just pops out. He's like, what's up, motherfuckers? Never gonna give you up. But, yeah, so I hope Dual Barrel Roll is done for now. I'm interested in that game. I kind of wish the multiplayer was online. Like, look, online should not be in question anymore, Nintendo. Like, it has the cape, but just put it in there.
The multiplayer's not online?
No.
Nope.
No. Oh. This should not be an option. Nintendo, it's like, I don't know, like I said before, I said this before, like the mad scientists that can't tie their shoes.
Wait, what's the point of the whole face thing, then, if you're like...
Oh, I know, and the person sitting across from you, you can, yeah, who fucking
cares? You can hear their voice from the system.
Yeah.
You can hear it in real life, too.
In real life, it's more than like five frames every like 20 seconds.
Yeah, I honestly, because of that like whole multiplayer clip right there, I thought it was online because of that.
No,
Wow.
That's one thing Nintendo needs to understand. Like, they put, like, online, the custom Robo Arena on the DS was, like, online. Like, what? Who's playing this? I love this game, don't get me wrong, but nobody bought it. So, online should not be an option. This, I don't know. You can't play up the multiplayer components of a game and then say, yeah, but it has no online. Yeah. Have you seen how well your system is selling, Nintendo? Nobody's buying your system. I need people to play people online. No one around me has one.
You know what I did hear that they were doing for this game, though? Well, because they're re-recording all the dialogue, but apparently they're, like, tracking down a bunch of the original voice actors.
Yeah, I could tell it sounded different.
Yeah. But they said they were able to get a lot of the voice actors, the original voice actors, but not all of them, so.
Hopefully they replace Slippy.
No, Slippy was perfect in the N64. He was annoying, but not maddening.
He was such a girl. Slippy here. I'm okay.
Yes, it was perfect. But I think they lost me with Slippy once they hit the stupid one that I hate, Assault.
The stupid one that I hate.
Like, Slippy was just painful in that one.
Let's see, we got more trailers. We got Kid Icarus Uprising. That has a multiplayer mode now. Fucking online.
Is this one online?
I know. Who knows?
Probably not.
I heard it was a little awkward to control because you got to use the circle pad to move and the stylus to aim. I've never really had a problem with that, though. Like, everyone doesn't seem to like that input method on the DS or the 3DS in this case. But I've never really... I played so much Metroid Prime Hunters.
It's basically Metroid controls.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't really have a problem with that. As long as there's a sensitivity, like, option... where I can customize that. As long as that's in the game, I have no problem with that method of control.
I think I heard, like, turning around was stupid, though. Like, you had to, like, flick the side of the screen or something.
Dumb. Get rid of that. But that's due this year, I think, right?
Who knows? Yeah.
What's due this year? We got Zelda's
I think everything but Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
What about Paper Mario? They didn't talk about that too much. There's a trailer for that, and it looks really cool. And I'm psyched. I'm jazzed, but...
That says to be announced. It does not have anything. Luigi's Mansion says 2012, but okay. Paper Mario doesn't say anything.
We got Zelda, Mario Kart, Kid Icarus.
Mario
is due this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Mario, and I think there's one more, isn't there?
Star Fox.
So that's 6 games in 6 months being published by Nintendo for the 3DS. It's pretty good.
And these are pretty big IPs.
Right. I mean, 2 of them are, you know, remakes, but they're remakes of, like, 2 of the best games, like, ever made, so.
Yeah. And it's not like those are the only 2 we're getting, you know?
And plus they're, like, what? Like, they're coming up on, like, 15 years old each, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, man, Nintendo's just porting shit. And, like, yeah, I would have preferred a new Zelda or a new Star Fox. Don't get me wrong. But I'm really not that perturbed because these are kind of old. You know, it's been a little while. I mean, there are gamers that are alive today that never played these games. That's how old they are.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll eventually get a new Zelda on the 3DS.
Oh, eventually, I mean, absolutely,
You know, it's been out less than a year, you know? It's been out less than 6 months. We wouldn't have a new Zelda yet anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not bothered by it.
No, me neither.
I'm expecting a new Star Fox, honestly, if this one sells good.
I hope so.
I could see them doing a new one that's not shitty like Assault.
He's trying to rile me up. It's not working.
He totally is.
Is it working?
I am impervious.
Yeah, all right.
But the future is bright for the 3DS. A lot of people are hard on this. I actually really like the system. I like its lineup. I like the fact that it has no one AAA blockbuster, but a bunch of, like, really good games that aren't, like, huge. That's what I actually really like about the 3DS right now. And with the eShop just launched, there's, you know, some good stuff on there as well. So I'm actually really behind the 3DS. A lot of people, I think, are a little hard on it, but I like it a lot. And I think the future for it is really bright.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you think we'll get a price drop once the Vita releases?
I think either Nintendo will pack in a game or drop the price this holiday season. They would be dumb not to. Look, I mean, they're very steadfast. They're very obstinate. Like, you Reggie, whoever they there's an interview with, they're like, no, but we feel we have a great value.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but of course they're going to say that. They're of course they're going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to drop it.
Right, right. No, this is true, but I really think...
Because then you got a bunch of holdouts.
Yeah. This holiday season, they should pack it in with Zelda, or they should drop the price by $50. That's what I said. But you know, what? I went to community college. What the fuck do I know?
Yeah.
I mean, Reggie used to work at Pizza Hut, so... Pizza Hut marketer. He knows his shit.
So, I mean, that. But that's how I feel about this holiday season, especially with Vita launching. They got to make it a little more attractive. I think by then we'll have more games out for it, and it will be more attractive, but I think there needs to be a hook in the price, in the actual package. Especially when people are so unaware of, like, how awesome, like, Face Raiders and, like, AR games.
Yeah, they really need to advertise the built-in software.
I mean, there's that whole, like, Find Me thing. Nobody even knows it's in there. I think it's really cool. So.
I still haven't got any street passes, by the way. I'm, like, so sad.
You know, I was saying, like, that's, like, half the reason why I work at the Toy Vault, and I haven't been getting any lately, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I've brought this thing to the mall, like, so many times, and I'm not getting anything.
I've got two, both from Display System and GameStop. The same GameStop, too.
Nice.
Well, at least that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited when I got one. I was like, yes! And then I saw that the game was, like, Street Fighter 4 demo.
We got, they didn't, how many, what Wii games did they talk about? They didn't talk about any, but they have
At the conference, they showed Skyward Sword at the conference. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are hoping for, like, oh, show Last Story or Xenoblade. No, Nintendo's not going to show you what you want. They don't do that. They don't play that.
Oh, they didn't. They didn't, like, mention those games. I don't think those are coming now. No. I've lost all hope.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. And I think it's very disappointing they didn't really talk about the Wii much at all. Like your system, your new system is so far off that you can't even show any games for it. But then you turn around and show no games for, like, your current console. Like, what are you doing right now, Nintendo?
They're really bad at supporting their consoles through the end of their lives, like, before the next... It was the same way with the N64 and the GameCube.
Yep, you're right.
I was hoping that they, you know, they'd realize that by now, but nope. Zelda, that's it.
I mean, in Zelda and Kirby Wii, I'm totally down. They look good.
Oh, dude, I want Fortune Street.
I've been Itadaki Street has been sitting in my Play Asia, like, wish list for so long. And I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. It's like $56. Super stupid expensive. So now I'm happy that we're actually getting, like, an English version of it in the form. It's called Fortune Street, but it's a board game like Monopoly with, like, Nintendo and Square Enix
characters. Dragon Quest characters.
Yeah. So I'm super jazzed that's coming. That's recent. It's coming like August, September, some shit like that.
Holiday 2000.
Holiday. Okay, my bad. Yeah, they were very vague with, like, release details, too. It's tough to keep up with them, but...
Yeah,
I'm pumped for that. We got Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2, which I'm glad that's finally getting localized. Which,
oh, dude, I didn't think that one was going to be coming either.
Nah, me neither, because there's already a second version out in Japan. There's Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2 Professional.
Yeah, this has got to be based on that version, right?
It's got to be Professional. They would be dumb not to do Professional. Yeah. But Nintendo's publishing this as well. Like, Nintendo's getting, like, super serial about... Dragon Quest.
They're all over that Dragon Quest.
And it's actually proved well for them. Like, they're, you know, they're making money off of it, so it's pretty smart. I'm psyched for that. What else did they show? They got Kirby with Mass Attack, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
For the DS. Looks really good. I was hoping for something out of left field. I was hoping for Solo Turbo or I don't know, but they didn't really get anything too kooky. You hear that, Frayn? I need a copy of Soul Turbo.
Layton 4, though, was confirmed.
Yes.
Coming. Yep. I'm so happy that Layton 4 is coming.
I was, too.
Coming, yep. So, I mean, you know, Nintendo... The problem with Nintendo is that they're supporting three different systems. And I think people have unfair... Even myself, sometimes, people have unfair expectations of Nintendo. Like I said earlier, like, no one puts out as many games as they do. And certainly not at the quality that Nintendo does. And they're putting out a ton of games. Like, really, if you look at, like, the next 6 months, they're putting out quite a few games for a single publisher. But it's like, we still want more. But, I mean, I do. I still want more from them. But, Nah, they're doing pretty good. I think they're doing, overall, they're doing pretty good. Supporting, you know, kind of supporting three systems right now, working on a fourth. Maybe they're spreading themselves a little thin. Maybe that's a bit of a problem there. But I think overall, as a single publisher and hardware manufacturer, they are doing very well.
The problem is that they're left carrying their own systems right now, especially the Wii and the DS, I guess, and Celeste Lake too.
I think that happens a lot with Nintendo. When their system first launches and in its last breaths, they are always supporting. Like they are like the sole supporter, and I think that is the problem right now. Because no one else is stepping up to the plate.
Nope.
Like, this is the time right now, publishers, to put out an awesome Wii game. Like, right now. No one's doing it.
Mm-mm. Oh. There's still Dragon Quest X coming for Wii.
Eventually.
Eventually.
I
mean,
I hope that comes sometime soon. I think overall my favorite conference was Nintendo's. I think they definitely screwed up some things. I think they could have definitely showed some actual games for Wii U. I would have hoped for a few more Wii games. But I think, all in all, they were my favorite conference. They showed more games that I cared about, talked about the hardware that I care about. You know, that's just where my interest is right now, so they had it for me. But I think Sony with, like, Uncharted 3, Sly 4, and the Vita was a close second. What do you guys think?
I mean, honestly, I don't think either were that great.
Right.
But I'm going to have to give the slight edge to Nintendo just because I'm really excited by that new controller and I liked the different concepts that they showed off of how it could be used.
Do you have a runner-up?
Yeah, Sony. I told you, I didn't watch the Microsoft conference because nobody told me not to.
You're lucky.
I was definitely digging a few of the Sony games. And
this is like the third year in a row where Microsoft has had fuck all. I don't know. Like I said, I still love the 360 as a platform, but man, Microsoft as a game studio, I don't know what's up with those guys. What about you?
Wait, what conference showed off the new Tomb Raider game? That was at Sony's, right?
I think that was Microsoft.
Microsoft? Yeah, so I forgot all about that. So, I mean, yeah, there's actually, yeah, that was a positive. That's multi-platform, though.
Yeah.
But I think that's a feather. I think that's one of the another problem with Microsoft's conferences is, like, a lot of the stuff they show off that they get, like, oh, here's Call of Duty. Like, they show you, like, multi-platform stuff. And, like, that's great and all. Like, that's fine because if I were to buy that game, I would probably buy it on the 360. But that's where my personal preference lies. Like, someone else might have the personal preference towards the PS3. So, meaning, like, even though they saw that game at Microsoft's conference, it doesn't mean anything for Microsoft.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. So, yeah, the two Tomb Raider looks pretty cool. I'm interested. But I don't necessarily tie that to Microsoft.
No, but I just wanted to point out that I thought that game looked awesome, so.
Yeah. Good plan, because we did forget to talk about that.
Chris?
I'm kind of with you guys, you know. I think Nintendo's was the best, but, I mean, it's not to say that it was perfect, you know.
Yeah.
I think last year's was definitely much better. It had a lot more surprises. I was hoping for more surprises, you know. We didn't see any.
This E3 was very low on surprises.
It was. Yeah. Everyone's like, here's a bunch of shit you already knew existed.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest downer all around.
Yeah, that's the biggest, you know, part of E3 is looking forward to the surprises, and there weren't too many. I mean, Luigi's Mansion 2 was, you know, awesome, don't get me wrong,
I think Sly 4 and Luigi's Mansion 2 were, like, the only, like, things that surprised me.
Sly 4 was already, was not announced, but it was teased at the end of the Sly trilogy. Like, that we already knew that was coming.
But I didn't expect to see anything, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Nintendo was my favorite, but, you know, it could have been better. No. And Sony was number two, obviously, because Microsoft was pretty bad. But, Sony was good. I mean, I'm not just trying to sound it like, you know, they were just, you know,
they were better than Microsoft.
They did do a good job.
Yeah. No, Sony did do a good job. They talked about some stuff I didn't really care about, but I think all in all they had a good amount of variety, some good announcements, and some great games and hardware. So Sony definitely did a good job. I also liked Ubisoft because just Rayman and Far Cry 3 really got me jazzed up. I'm really excited for those.
But I think we can all agree that the real winner was Konami.
Here's a bunch of collections. Go have fun. Bye-bye.
Transfaring.
I know, and then transfaring, yeah.
Oh, God. I love that Mega 64 bit, by the way.
I know, I haven't watched it.
You need to watch the Mega 64. It's in my write-up of the awesome Konami conference.
Yeah. I still haven't watched it.
Oh, you definitely need to watch it.
Okay,
it's good stuff.
I will. Yeah, Konami and... well, I mean, it's tough for me to, like, fault EA, because I know, like, there was stuff that EA had that people are definitely interested in. But for me, like, EA was a snooze fest. No surprises. It felt like there's just no creativity in what they showed, I think, is the big thing. I just didn't feel like there was anything really super creative.
Yeah. No.
That's really what I'm looking for these days. I mean, like, you know, like, Mass Effect 3 could be a good game. You know, Need for Speed on the Run could be a good game. But it's just too much of the same for me. And as someone who plays, like, a lot of games and has been following the industry for a long time, you know, even though those could be good games, I'm just not interested in playing the same old thing. I want to see what you can show me that the other guy isn't doing. Because I don't know if you noticed, EA, a lot of your games look like everyone else's games. So show me what you can do.
You could run out of the car.
I could mash triangle or some shit. Yeah, whatever.
Hell yeah. Now, honestly, I think this was one of the lamer E3s. So.
Yeah. Overall, it was pretty lame.
I mean, I think overall, like, here's the thing, though. There wasn't a lot, there weren't any surprises, really. And there were some blunders on almost everyone's part. But I think that, although it was still a solid E3, even if it was a disappointing E3. Because of the things that I liked that came out of it, I really like. And that's a thing. So I think that, for me, you know, this is why I refer to myself as a video game enthusiast, because I really care more about the stuff. To me, like, the stuff that I care about is way more important than the stuff that I don't care about. To me, it doesn't matter that I don't care about Battlefield 3, because I care about Luigi's Mansion 2. And as long as Luigi's Mansion 2 exists, I don't give a fuck about anything else. I'm just happy that something I like is there.
Yeah.
I'm enthusiastic.
So, did any guys see that Ninja Gaiden 3 footage?
Yes.
Yep.
A lot of blood.
A lot of QuickTime events too, in the cutscenes.
I think I might have missed that.
Oh man, there's a couple playthroughs. There's like playthrough videos, and well, first of all, people are complaining that there's like QuickTime events everywhere because there's actually just like an on-screen demo or an on-screen tutorial that tells you like when to press square when you're fighting. So people thought that was like a. But no, even outside of that, there's like QuickTime events like during just about every cutscene, which I don't know what's up with it. I'm not sure if I'm into that.
That kind of sucks.
It's QuickTime events everywhere. Actually, Tomb Raider was full of them too, I think.
Yeah. It's like a lot of games want to be cinematic, but then they're like, oh shit, we got to make a game too. So they put in these QuickTime events so that they can show you shit, but still, like, have, like, the sort of, like, appearance of being a game.
Not into them.
Nah, me neither. I think it's really bad.
I mean,
sometimes QuickTime events can make sense. Used sparingly and in appropriate context, they can. They're used way too much, and in, like this On the Run game, like, why the, like, it's called On the Run, not, like, Mash Triangle, so, like, why can I not run?
I don't know. Literally, the whole thing, like, I could see the dude, like, mashing A or X or whatever the bottom button is on whatever controller. He was just mashing that, then every time, like, then a triangle would pop up, and then he'd hit triangle. And that was it. And you, like, literally do nothing but mash X and then hit triangle when you need to.
Yeah.
And that's not fun.
Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, especially when it takes the place of something that you could actually play.
Yeah, like, you could, like, maybe control the guy on the roof with a control stick, and then maybe you could jump from roof to roof with a jump button. I don't want to get crazy here with ideas. Like, actually, did either of you guys play the Warriors?
No, but I've wanted to.
It's actually really fun, especially co-op. But there's, like, a whole roof chase sequence that... Well, it does have, like, a... You need to press triangle, I think, at the right... No, you just jumped. Yeah, it's like a whole roof chase sequence that looked exactly like this game, but you play it.
So is it, is it like, Beyond Good and Evil's rooftop chase, then?
It was really good. Is there a rooftop chase in Beyond...
You don't remember, like, one of the coolest scenes? Like, the fucking helicopters coming at you and blowing you up and shit, and you have to run across the...
Okay. I played this game when it came out. I've not played it since. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, there is one in Beyond Good and Evil.
Do you play it?
Yes.
Well, then, yes.
Then, yes, it's like
it's
that.
It's awesome. Yeah. What I'm saying is that there's no reason why...
Right, exactly. This is something that could have been interactive, and they're just... Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. But all in all, I think this E3 was you know, yeah, there's some disappointments, but I think overall it's good. You know, I'd rather focus on the things I'm interested in and not get sucked down by the things I'm not. I'd rather...
Oh, yeah, no, the games that I saw that I really liked, I'm really liking them, so yeah. I'm excited for those.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I was a little disappointed as E3 was going on that we didn't get more surprises, but what's come out of it, you know, I'm happy.
Definitely.
Also, the Skyward Sword stuff has totally got me reinterested in this game.
Skyward Sword is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it has potential here. Some serious potential. Just from everything they've been saying and everything that they've shown off, I think.
Yep.
You can erase Twilight Princess from my mouth.
Oh, man. All right, well, unless you guys have anything you want to add about E3, we can do some listener questions.
Nah, whatever. E3, spleen me.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Blah, blah.
So, listener questions. Check us out on Facebook. Give us a like, and when I call for questions, check them out there. Occasionally, I'll also be asking listeners a question and then reading the best answers on the podcast. I didn't do that this week because I figured this would be a big podcast already, so it was just a time thing, but we will be doing that occasionally. So first question, favorite old school arcade game, anything up to around the mid 80s? That is really old school.
Yeah. I like Pac-Man and I like Centipede. Those are really good.
Those are classic, yeah. Centipede, well, I mean, I like the concept of Centipede, but I'm really bad at it.
Are you? I just love moving around with the trackball.
I'm bad at moving around with the trackball, that's the problem.
No, I love it. Well, when I was, how old was I? Around 12, I guess. My mom got remarried. She married some dude, and he had a Centipede arcade.
He's like some dude. Don't know much about him.
I did it at the time, whatever. But no, my stepdad had a Centipede arcade, so I just used to play the shit out of that. I loved it.
Cool. Chris, you
got any? Pac-Man, I guess. I never been to arcades much, you know.
Boom.
Since they're not really around anymore, which sucks.
Pac-Man, I love to play when I'm drunk. I tell myself I'm getting better at it. But I don't know, it's really fun.
You know, one of my favorite arcade games is APB. And I think this might miss the cutoff. I think this came out like maybe the late 80s. It was definitely the 80s. It wasn't mid 80s, but I don't know, like 87 maybe or something. I don't know. APB is really cool. And, like, you play as a cop, and you, like, pull people over for, like, littering. And,
That's a $2,000 fine.
And then, like, yeah, like, you drive behind them, you hit the siren button, and woo-woo, and this little bullseye appears out in front of your car. And you need to hold that bullseye over the offending, over the perpetrator's car to pull them over. And you need to, like, not crash into buildings or pedestrians, and you need to pick up donuts. There's like donut shops, and like you go through like the drive-thru and like get donuts.
Nice.
But I love APB. I think it's a really cool game. I'm also a big fan of Moon Patrol. I love Moon Patrol. I think that's a great game. And Robotron 2084. I also really like the twin stick shooter. It's a bit of a pain in the ass, but man, that shit's classic. So I guess those would be for me. What's your favorite video game soundtrack? Covers could count too. Phoenix Wright meets jazz is amazing.
Jet Set Radio?
Yeah, Jet Set. Yeah, that's up there for me too. I like the quirky stuff. Like I like Jet Set Radio. I like The World Ends With You. And I like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, the Crystal Bearers. They're all pretty recent games, I guess. But those are really good. That has, those
well, great I mean, games. I think like older games, the soundtrack's like three different songs that just loop every 20 seconds.
Yeah, and
so.
that's the problem. Yeah. So like you'll have like games that have like fantastic songs, but like it's not really a soundtrack. I think you can get into. It's really just the song.
And you can't sit there and listen to it.
Right, right. So like yeah, like so like Green Hill Zone is really awesome, but like. I mean, how much of Sonic can you really make a whole album of like Sonic 1 music?
Probably not.
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
Usually, most Sonic stuff is like compilations.
Sonic 1 music is catchy as shit.
It is. It's really good.
Well, I don't know. Considered soundtrack.
Yeah, when I think about video game music, I usually think of like specific songs, not a whole soundtrack, but. I really like Mother 3.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, but I wanted to save it. I wanted to save that one for Chris.
You're such a sweetheart.
It's a good one.
I know.
I love that thing.
So thoughtful. Opinions on Facebook games. Not really for me. I haven't played one yet that I thought was compelling, but other people like them. You know, this is one thing in like modern gaming I just don't understand. Like, ooh, these games are different from what I like. They suck. And it's like, dude, you know, I mean, I don't care for them. And some of them might be bad, like legit bad. But I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, like Facebook is just a platform. And it appeals to a particular audience with particular types of games. And some people like Farmville. Some people, you know, like that stuff. And I just think that that's just dandy by me. But I haven't really played anything on Facebook I find compelling.
I haven't either.
Chris?
I haven't played too many, but I mean, the only thing I don't like about them specifically is how many fucking requests I get for them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
generally, I just ignore them, but still, I have, like, you know, hundreds of requests that I ignore.
Yeah, you know, I'll get, like, I'll see in my news feed, like, so-and-so just started playing Fist Your Grandma, and I'm like, block all messages from Fist Your Grandma.
Where can I find this game?
Like, as soon as I see someone's playing a new game, I'm like, block, I don't ever want to see this again. And then, yeah, it's the request. I mean, that's probably the biggest problem I have with Facebook games, is that they're designed to be viral and annoying. And it's probably really great for the people who play them, like, oh, I got some fence pieces in Farmville, you want them? Like, but I don't care. I'm not playing Farmville, and I don't want your fence pieces, so I don't want to see that, and I don't want to be bothered by it, and I don't ever want to know that you're playing it. It doesn't matter to me. That's probably the biggest problem.
I was pretty addicted to Farmville and Mafia, I think, something, I don't know. And I don't know, I just kept playing them and playing them and playing them, and then I was like, this is stupid, and I just quit. I quit everything.
Dana used to be pretty hardcore into Farmville. I shouldn't say hardcore, because she never, like, spent money or anything on it, but...
No.
She was pretty... I would say she was into it, though. But then she just quit. She just found it unappealing.
You get to a point where you're just doing the exact same shit. It's like starts becoming work instead of fun.
Yeah.
So like, I gotta milk all these chickens and collect all these eggs.
And my pumpkins are ready at 6 o'clock. I better drop
what
I'm
doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, fuck this. And then you're just done with it.
Yeah.
And I think most people go through that. I don't, like, know anybody who sticks with these games for so long, but then, like, new people come along and start playing them.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, there are enthusiasts that definitely stick with these games, but I think a lot of people drop them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the longevity. And I think that's also an issue with Facebook games. Is like, it's not that they're shallow. I don't mind shallow casual experiences. Well, as long as they're fun. But the problem is, like, it's just, after a while, like, these just, they don't grow as games. You know, like, they don't. There's really not a whole lot to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Sorority Life actually, like, has a lot of fun mini-games within itself. Like, the overall metagame, I guess, is stupid, but it just has, like, Bejeweled and stuff like that inside of it. Don't ask why I'm playing Sorority Life.
If you're anything like me, it's probably because you saw a fuck ton of messages on your fucking feed about it.
Yeah, it was actually one of my... Please, one of my nieces was like, please, do something, something. I was like, oh, fucking
I want to see if I have any requests. I don't... Because I hate this shit. I hate getting, like, so-and-so, like, I hate getting invited to events. Like, look, just leave me alone. Like, we're friends on Facebook. Isn't this good enough?
Yeah, I honestly don't use Facebook for my own things, my own personal stuff anymore. I just use it to update TV and list.
So someone wants me to play Vampire Wars on Facebook.
Oh, God, Vampire Wars. That's another one I played.
Yeah, I don't, like, click X. Block all Vampire Wars. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, the way they make them so intrusive into other people's...
Yeah.
That's the biggest
I have 59 requests.
Yeah, dude, at one point I had that many until I realized I could, like, X them all out. I'm like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had a ton, too. And so people just, because people have no tact in how they spam other people with them. Like,
oh, man, is there a limit? I have 99 requests, so I don't know if, like, it stops at that many.
I think, people just click everyone and just go, okay, cool, and just sends the message to everyone because they don't care. I'm like, have I ever given you any, like, idea that I want to play Yeovil? No, I don't think I did.
Yeovil.
I think people need a little bit. But I think that might be a failing on, like, the people who are playing it rather than the game itself. Like, the game is designed to be that way, and then people have no tact as they're playing it. So
I have one from Fran.
What's Fran playing?
Knights of the Crystals.
is that Square Enix's game?
Let me click into this here.
I'm spending a long time on this one question.
Oh no, I'm gonna have to like allow this shit to like even see. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't allow. There's nothing that has access to my Facebook page. I don't allow anything access to Facebook.
Oh, I have a question, Fran, too. Knights of the Crystals.
Yep.
Fran. So I guess Fran's answer to that is she likes Facebook games. She likes them.
They're her favorite.
I think this is actually a pretty in-depth... We could probably have, like, a whole topic about this one episode.
We'd have to have Fran on, though.
We might have to have a little bit of research involved with it and talk a little bit about the games, but... And maybe even play some of them, but...
I'm gonna be busy that weekend.
I know, right? Hey, if we want to cover all angles of gaming, this is an angle. I think it's actually a very interesting topic.
Do we want to cover all angles of gaming?
Maybe. I don't know.
Where's our PC discussion?
What the hell is that?
What's with all the mob games? Mob Wars, Mobsters, Mafia Wars,
I know,
Mobsters 2?
I don't know. I think those are all just basically like these turn-based resource management games, aren't they?
They're all resource management. I don't know about turn-based.
Because I feel like a lot of the games are just... None of them are, like, actual, like, games where I can, like, move around and, like, do things.
Oh, no. All you do, you just click things.
Yeah, I think that's really is what a lot of these games, because, like, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of gameplay involved. That's pretty much the biggest turnoff for me. Then I have to grant everything access to my Facebook page.
Yeah, and then you start spamming all your friends.
I know. I got a free iPad. Click here. And then all of a sudden you see it all over everyone's wall.
Yep.
And then everybody hates you.
Yep. Pro tip, stop clicking random shit on Facebook. You cannot get a free iPad. You're not going to get that iPad, sorry. will you be getting the Wii U or PSV? Thoughts on each? Well, we already talked about our thoughts, but I fully intend to get both.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
There you go.
Don't make me out right away.
Fair enough. With the news of Nintendo stocks at an all-time low, well, I don't know about all-time low, that are five-year low, I think. After the announcement of the Wii U, do you prefer vanilla or chocolate ice cream?
Oh, vanilla, easily.
Yeah,
I think I lean towards vanilla. I like them both a lot, but I lean towards vanilla.
I'm not big on chocolate ice cream.
No?
Yeah, I don't like chocolate ice cream either.
Wow,
yeah.
No, I like them both. Questions for each of you. What was your personal highlight of E3? Well, I guess, you know, we all said that we agreed we liked Nintendo's conference the best, but let's narrow it down to, like, a particular announcement or game or piece of hardware. What one thing took it away for each of you, Seth?
Ah, you dick. Honestly, I'm going to say with the Wii U controller. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going to say Luigi's Mansion 2.
It's a good choice. I'm torn between those two things, actually. But I am going to go with the Wii U controller, like Seth, because Luigi's Mansion 2 looks awesome. The possibilities of that controller is phenomenal.
Even the stupid shit, like laying it on the floor so you see your golf ball. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I love those little things. Like, those little things that, like, Nintendo... Like, when you... Like, not so much on 3DS. 3DS is a similar thing, but, like, on DSi, where when you download something, where, like, all the little Mario characters come and toss stuff into the box, and then it wraps up, and then it goes to, like, your menu screen, you tap it, and it unwraps. That's awesome. Yeah,
I was sad with the 3DS download. It's just, like, little ornaments that, like, fall in or something.
They still have, like, a present unwrapping, and you know, it's, like, little shit like that that Nintendo does that, like, no one else would have the balls to do.
It's so funny that, like, they, like, wrap it up as a present. Like, I just I know what it is, but whatever.
Surprise! And you unwrap it. You unwrap it. It's so cool. I like it. I like it a lot. What are your thoughts on how Nintendo's handling Zelda's 25th? Personally, I was pleasantly surprised about how they chose to go about it. We talked about this a little bit earlier as well. And, like I said, I like that there's a lot of, like, little things. But I sort of feel like there could have been one bigger thing. Instead of, like, oh, here's a controller, and oh, here's, like, Link's Awakening again. But overall, I'm pretty satisfied. What do you think of this?
Honestly, I don't think we, like, need another compilation or anything. We got, like, compilations on GameCube and
such. Yeah, I know that's true. But...
And honestly, I think they're half-assing it. Like you said, I'm pretty sure, like, most of this stuff was already planned. So, whatever, I'm fine. I don't think, like, every single series needs a full 25th thing and then a 50th and a 10-year.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe not, but, I mean, this is a pretty significant series.
Eh.
Okay.
They're just dates. The games are still there. You can celebrate them any way you want.
Yeah.
Just go play some games. Go play some Zelda. I don't know.
What do you think, Chris?
I'm pretty happy. I mean, I think I'm happier than I would have been had we gotten, you know, a collection like we got for Mario. I mean, I wish there was one, you know, big thing, but I'm pretty happy with what we got.
Cool.
Or are getting.
Actually, do you know what they could have done?
What?
Like a special edition 3DS or something. I think that would have been a cool...
I would have been pissed off if they did that.
Yeah. I was really hoping that wasn't going to happen.
How about an actual special edition for, like, Skyward Sword? Like, something that comes with, like, the soundtrack and, like, I don't know, a statue. Like, Nintendo doesn't do that, and I wish they did.
They didn't announce how they're going to distribute that second soundtrack, did they? Because they mentioned the Club Nintendo one for the Ocarina of Time soundtrack, but I think they said, like, during the conference, we'll go into specifics on how to get the second soundtrack later. So maybe they are planning on doing a little...
Yeah. I mean, a box set would be nice. You know, everyone else doing special editions. And in some ways, I'm kind of glad Nintendo isn't releasing, like, every single game with a box set. But they could release a couple more, I think.
Yeah.
You know, actually, on the subject of the soundtracks, I hope those aren't, like, download keys. I want a physical
soundtrack. Held up a physical CD. That better be a fucking...
I hope
there's something... There's a picture of the Ocarina of Time CD on Club Nintendo now.
Oh, okay. I have to do. You know, guys, how many fucking surveys I have to do in the next, like, 2 weeks? I need elite status.
You're not there yet.
You're not there yet. Come on.
You know how many? I don't do those post play surveys. I never fucking. I probably have about 50 of those lying around.
You don't know how many, like, games I'm gonna have to enter in after July 1st, because I've just held off on entering so many damn games because I reached elite like 3 months ago. I don't even know.
Yeah, see, because I don't do the surveys. That's my problem.
I usually don't do them either. I caught up like a couple months ago.
I have like 20 surveys that I have.
And I think sometimes I forget to punch the games in, too, so like that's also a problem.
I'm rolling in coins over here.
I'll get to it. It's just going to take a little bit of mindless effort to get there. With Professor Layton and The Last Spectre getting localized, what one unlocalized DS game deserves a chance before the DS is ultimately retired? Summerbringer!
Is that game awesome?
So I hear.
No, I want Chibi-Robo 3. Chibi-Robo 3. That's...
Did you even play 2?
No, you ask me this every time.
I know I do, but that's my point. Like, you're like, I want the third one, when you're not even playing the second one, you greedy motherfucker.
2 takes place in a park. I don't care about parks. 3 is back in a house with hopefully a dysfunctional family. That's what I want.
Okay, fine. Chris, what do you want?
Well, since I already played Last Window, I won't say that. Maybe the Jump games, which I know are never going to come over, but
Jump
Ultimate Stars.
Oh, yeah. You should just buy it anyway. It's so good.
I know.
Who is your favorite superhero? Seth.
I'm your favorite superhero?
You're my favorite superhero.
Awesome.
Damn, you took my answer.
I have the power to sleep for 20 hours straight.
Are you awake?
Yeah. Maybe. Batman?
He said super.
Okay. Does he count?
I don't know. You can. I say he counts. It's fine.
I mean,
half the shit he does and owns can't be real anyway. So.
He's super rich.
Okay, fair enough. And super sexy.
Dude, he's way too sexy. Actually, I was just watching the Batman animated series again recently. It's so good. Still so good.
You watch cartoons?
dude, one of the episodes is sad, too. It's the last season Clayface episode with, like, little girl that Robin
made. Oh, yeah. That one is sad.
That is sad.
I watch cartoons, too.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with Batman.
Chris?
Either of you two?
I don't like superheroes.
You love superheroes.
Yeah, you're like a comic book nerd. I see you spamming on my Twitter feed about comic books.
All the time. It's like, comics? I don't know.
Probably either Spider-Man or Batman. I'll say Spider-Man just to be different. But I'm sure Seth saw that coming.
Yeah, I did, actually. I left Spider-Man open for it. I almost went to it when Craig said Batman wasn't a real superhero.
I thought you were going to say Aquaman.
He's runner-up. He's up there.
Seth wants to know where his honey is.
Where's my honey? I was watching Barton Fink. And
what is that?
It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
The older one. It's with John Turturro and John Goodman, actually. So
nobody fucks with the Jesus.
It's funny. Yes, okay. It's good. Like, it's on Netflix streaming, I'm pretty sure, so.
I'll have to check it out.
Watch the shit out of it.
I'll watch it tonight. Since you guys are into video games, well, you might say that. Have you ever considered making video games your job, either game journalism or working at a studio? If so, has anything stopped you from acting on those thoughts? Yeah, nobody wants to hire me. Like, I think that's...
Craig tries.
I do try, yeah. This is... It's not something I talk about, like, all that much, but I've applied to several outlets, and...
I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter from Craig, like, just apply to this. Haven't heard back from this.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think video game journalism is going in a much different direction than I approach it. Like, all the blog... I recently applied to Joystick. Even though Joystick's tone is very different than what I do, I would love to get a foot in the door, but... You read a Joystick news piece, and it's like this simple, very news piece, news story, but they turn it into like 8 paragraphs worth of like fart jokes, and okay, maybe it's not as lowbrow as fart jokes, but I mean, you know, my point is like, you read sites like this, and it's really hard to get the news that you want out of them, because they feel like they have to like put all this humor and all this other shit into it, and like, if that's the approach they want, that's fine. Like, I mean, I like Joystick, and I go to Joystick. But I don't want to write like that. Like, our news posts are very succinct and to the point. They're just the facts. There are no jokes or anything like that. I know people want to read it that way, but honestly, when it comes to news, you have to report it in a way that's objective, I think. And you have to do it in a way that, like, busy people can fucking read it and get what they need out of it and move on with their lives. I don't know what I'm reading when I go to a Joystick post. I'm like, okay, I'm scanning through all these sentences. Like, where's the relevant shit? So... I think a lot of the journalism stuff, and like even like you could look at like Game Informer. A long time ago I applied to like Game Informer magazine, but like you go to their site, and their news stuff is incredibly subjective. They don't even care about being inflammatory on posts they mark as news. Like, they're dicks right in the headline, and that's because that's where a lot of the audience is. A lot of the audience likes this confrontational and or quote unquote humorous tone, and. I don't approach it that way. Maybe on the podcast I get a little hyperbolic and silly, but to me, like, that's what the podcast is for, whereas reporting news on the site is not.
I feel this is your way of telling me to cut down on the jokes, Craig.
No, not at all. Not at all. No. Not
all right.
I'm just saying. When you put in a joke or two in your news post, it's very different than what I'm talking about here.
All right. I try not to do anything that's inflammatory towards anything.
Right. I mean, above all else, like, don't be inflammatory. Because someone could be reading that news post and they could be interested in that news. Insulting your audience is not a smart thing to do.
Like, I don't think I'd be posting news stories anyways if I didn't care about the thing I was posting about.
True. Because, like, I remember one time Game Informer wrote this article about the PSP Go and basically capped it off with, I don't want to say verbatim, but basically they said, the PSP Go is for people who are short on brains but not on money. And then, of course, someone wrote, a letter in saying, like, well, actually, I'm a doctor and I have a PSP Go and I like it. And Game Informer, whoa, buddy, we just think it's not that great. Well, then say that.
I would have went like, oh, you're obviously not a brain surgeon.
But, I applied to, positions, but, like, at the same time, like, I don't know if I really want them, and sometimes I'm kind of relieved that I don't get them, because I don't think I could write that way, you know? I don't think I could insult someone because they want a PSP. I don't think the PSP Go is that great, but I shouldn't be in the position to insult people who do want it. That's dumb. That's stupid. Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah.
Well, Craig did get some journalism in the Finns, Finland.
Yeah, that's true. I did write that piece for Palaya, and I hope that opens up the door to more freelance stuff. That would be, see, freelance I would be totally down for. See, freelance would be probably more awesome than a dedicated position. I'd love to make my money doing what I love to do, which is this, but honestly, I don't think I could. I'm made for the current game journalism market. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? You guys ever, like, try to get involved with any of this stuff?
Not really. I like writing just for this smaller site like this.
And we're glad to have you, Seth. Yeah. Honestly, you're probably too good for this site, but I'm glad you stick around.
I don't want, like, the other sites. I wouldn't want to write for some of the other places at all. Because I hate most of the bigger sites, I honestly can't stand.
See, that's the thing, I can't stand either, which is why I don't know why I apply to them, but I do. And honestly, I don't belong there. And I'm always relieved when I don't get the position, because I don't know how I would handle it. Because I don't belong there. I don't like the sites, and I don't belong there. I just want to make money doing what I love to do. And it's just, I probably never will. I probably won't make money in this industry. Not as, my day job, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we could eventually find a good niche. Well, we already got a good niche.
Like, we do have a good niche. We have an awesome audience.
Yeah, exactly. The people who have found us, I think, are awesome, and they understand what we're doing. And I think we just maybe – I'm sure there's more people out there like that who just haven't found the site yet.
Yeah. So you hear that, folks. Yeah. You like our site. Tell someone else. It would help us out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Chris? You ever apply to anything here?
No, I haven't. And I'm not sure I'd want to. I mean, I don't know how into gaming I'd be if that was my full-time job.
Yeah.
You know?
It's tough. It does suck a lot of fun out of it in some ways.
Yeah. Like
meeting deadlines and stuff. I mean, that's why, I push you guys occasionally, like, oh, can we get some reviews or features done here? But I try not to be too draconian with our content, because that, if you're not having fun, it's gonna reflect in your work. I'm gonna see it in your writing,
right,
if you're not having fun. So I try not to be too hard on you.
Yeah. As it is, I mean, I enjoy writing reviews, and I enjoy playing the games. But, I mean, if I was doing that, 40 hours a week for my full-time job, it might be a different story.
Right. That's a good point. Favorite features of the Wii and... I'm going to assume he means Wii U. Favorite features of the Wii U and PlayStation Vita.
That controller's pretty cool.
I like the fact that I can go to the bathroom and don't have to pause the game.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about it with, streaming.
That is awesome.
You know, there was this discussion, Seth and I know someone who works at Harmonix, And I don't want to say his name. I wish we could talk about him more, because this guy is so awesome. Not that the fact that he works at Harmonix, but because a lot of how he feels about the industry and about game design is how I feel. And so he was talking about how, like, for example, if you're playing a game on Wii U, and, you know, you have the game on the screen and, like, some sort of UI on your controller, like maybe a touchscreen inventory or something like that, how is that handled if you walk away and you want to stream to the controller? Do you then have, like, does it then change how the UI is handled? It would have to. Because yeah. Then you would have to have, like, a subscreen of some kind, because it's no longer, because now everything's on one screen instead of two.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, revert back to pause menus or something.
Right, exactly. So, Basically, developers would have to do, basically, two kinds of, you know, UIs, two kinds of inventory screens. So maybe not all games will be designed to stream.
I doubt that'll
be universal.
So, but I hope it is, so that I can go to the bathroom and keep playing. I'm just kidding. I probably wouldn't do that.
I know some people who definitely would.
I know that there are some people who would do that. Yes. Yep. I'm not so sure I'm one of them, but yeah. As for the Vita, I don't know. I don't think there's any one thing. I like the idea of the cloud saving, like we were talking about before. You can maybe play on the Vita and pick up later on the PS3 or vice versa. I like that. I don't know how widely that's going to be accepted, but that's a pretty exciting concept.
I think the graphics are pretty.
That they are.
Nah, I don't know. Really, it's kind of a standard handheld. As far as, I mean, it has the touch screens, but it's not anything revolutionary, I don't think, at this point.
Maybe not. It's still pretty nice, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the price point. That's my favorite feature.
That's a good feature.
What about you, Chris? You got anything?
I don't think I have one specific one. You know, like you guys said, it's a pretty standard, I don't want to say it's a standard system. I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's an evolution, but maybe, you know, the touch panel on the back, you know, a little deviant looks cool. I mean, it could make for some unique games, but I mean, that's stretching, you know. I wouldn't necessarily say that's my favorite. It's just something that stands out.
Yeah.
Looks cool overall.
I agree. But that wraps up questions. Again, check us out on Facebook if you want to ask us some questions. Talk about games we've been playing lately, and does anyone want to start us off?
Oh, start us off.
Objection!
Wow, alright. I played through Silent Hill on Wii.
Shattered
Memories. I don't know why I was drawing a blank all of a sudden. Because my memories were shattered. I played through that, and I absolutely love this game. It's like, the immersion within the game is, I think, unparalleled in any other adventure game on the Wii. And I'm not even going to call it a survival horror game, because it's not really all that scary. It's creepy, but have either of you played it?
No, but now I feel like I have to with this high praise.
Okay, well, here we go. Well, first of all, like, your main thing is your flashlight that you could aim everywhere, and I just hear myself echoing and starting. Whose system am I echoing on?
I don't hear an echo.
All right, hold on.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yes.
I think better? I'm... Better, is that good?
I think so.
Okay, let's get back to this podcast here.
All right, shut up. You have your flashlight movement that you control with a pointer, right?
Yep.
And then every once in a while you'll come across, like, a door that's locked or something that you have to move the locks around. You have to figure out, like, little lock puzzles with the pointer as well. And then you could pick up objects. You could interact with objects, and you, like, have to, like, turn – like, there's a beer can early – on, like, you can pick up the beer can, turn your remote upside down, and, like, dump out a key out of the beer can, that sort of thing. But and the coolest part is, like, the cell phone in the game. Like, every call that you get, it goes to your Wii remote.
So
and
it's
then,
like, No More Heroes?
Yeah, but it's, like, so much more involved than that, because there's also these phone numbers, like, all out throughout the game, and you could, like, whip out your cell phone. Like, you could call any phone number that you find, and then you'll get, like, little dialogues coming through. And you also use your phone as a camera, too, so you could pull out your phone, take pictures of, like, creepy-ass ghost things that then send dialogue to your remote as well.
When we wrap up this podcast, I think we're going to go to GameStop and see if, like, a used copy or something.
Yeah, I just... The only reason I bought it, too, is because I didn't want to pay for shipping on something on Amazon, so, like,
yeah,
I went,
what is it,
all
$15, $20 there right now on Amazon?
Yeah, I think it's, like, $15. So I just padded my purchase with it, so I wouldn't have to pay shipping.
It's so funny, because now you paid more than you would have paid if you did shipping.
I know, but I sort of wanted the game anyway.
You know, it's funny, because I have the same mentality.
Yeah.
I do the same exact thing. Like, oh, let me add something, so I don't pay for shipping, and then I add something that costs more than shipping would have been, so, but... But I get two games out of the deal, so whatever.
I do that all the time. But, yeah, it's really good. And the graphics are actually, like, really good for the Wii. I hate saying that, too. But, no, like, the effects are really good. The main problem is there's, like, these chase scenes where, like, the whole world becomes, like, twisted and frozen over. It's actually a really cool effect. And then there's these monsters... And they just sort of latch onto you as you try to, like, make your way through a maze-like area to an exit. And they don't do, like, a really good job of explaining how you're supposed to handle these chase scenes the first time it happens. So I kept getting, like, dragged down by monsters and killed. And I was like, fucking, I almost gave up on it.
I heard there's, like, almost, like, no combat in this version.
There's not. You just run. You run and shake and stop you.
That's cool. I would rather have that because, honestly, like... I know you said you didn't want to call it a survival horror game, but a lot of the combat in, like, survival horror games, like, turns me off. Like, it's very clunky and imprecise, and I don't ever feel like I'm making leeway, because if I kill one zombie or creature or whatever, like, eight more take its place, so... Which I suppose is the point. So I'm kind of glad, like, combat really isn't part of this game.
Yeah, this is not combat-focused at all. There are these chase scenes that are made to bring up tension and such, but... are few and far between. Honestly, I think, like, a lot of it is just adventuring, exploring around, and trying to figure out where you're supposed to go and how to get there.
So a lot of exploring and puzzle solving, then.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And it's, like, just to this really creepy creepy vibe going on. And I liked it. I was able to play it at night, so you know it's not, like, horribly scary, because I'm a giant pussy when it comes to stuff like that. So, but it's still incredibly fun. And my friend and I have been playing Dead Nation since I got that for free on the Welcome Back package, or whatever.
I haven't played that since I first played it when I downloaded it for the Welcome Back package. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't find it. I didn't really, because I didn't feel like coming back to it.
I wouldn't play it single player, but I think it's really fun multiplayer.
Yeah, see, I've been playing it single player.
Yeah, with two people, I think you're able to, like, strategize more with, like, one person's using one gun and another person could use the other. Like, here you use, like, a flamethrower to slow down the zombies while I, like, mow them down with an SMG.
Yeah, so that sounds like a lot more fun.
Yeah, stuff like that's fun. I honestly probably would not be into this single player at all.
Yeah, no, it's okay it's okay single player, but just not something I had a hiccup, I'm sorry. But, obviously not something I wanted to come back to. I haven't played it since.
Yeah. Definitely fun co-op, though.
Awesome.
What else? I think Zombies Ate My Neighbors, actually. Yeah. Yes. That game's kind of broken sometimes. I think it might randomly load where the survivors are each time you play, but we are, like, stuck in this area where it's literally impossible to save a person, because as soon as you see them on the screen, they're in an area where monsters are. So as soon as you, like, walk down, and then they're killed, and they're the only person in this level. So, and if you don't save anybody, then you get, like, an instant game over. And so, yeah, I've got sort of stuck there. Also, finally started playing Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, wow. What took you so long?
I don't know.
Oh. What do you think of it?
I am enjoying it immensely. I'm not too far into it yet, so nobody ruined anything for me. But I'm liking it. It's good stuff.
Cool.
I That's all I can think of right
I'm
now.
I'm not going to... I mean, but it is, it's an awesome game. It's really good.
It is awesome. Especially if you're a fan of the Batman cartoon, because they use a lot of the voices from that.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm loving that. I'm like, I'm actually mad that Commissioner Gordon doesn't sound like Commissioner Gordon from the cartoon.
I know.
It's not Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Arkham City, a couple of the, like, the new characters don't have the cartoon voices.
Yeah, but, I heard they changed Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn is different, I think. Two-Face is going to be a different guy.
You can't
from the cartoon, not from the first one, though.
That's, Harley is, like, perfect as she is.
I know. But what can you do?
Especially since they have her in the first game. Like, how do you...
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm mad. Alright, somebody else.
Alright, Chris.
I haven't actually had a whole lot of time to play stuff. I mean, I don't...
With his promotion and all, listen to this big shot here.
I know, right? No, I mean, I work the same number of hours, but my hours now change from being 6 to 2 to 8 to 5. I get an hour for lunch, but, I mean, getting home later in the day, I haven't been finding as much time to play.
There's a 6 a.m.?
Yeah. I know you wouldn't know anything about that, but there is. There's actually a 5 a.m. too, which is usually when I wake up.
Actually, I have seen 5 a.m. before when I don't
play. He was just going to bed at that time. He wasn't getting up out of it.
Exactly.
That's at the end of your day, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, but I downloaded Mario Land and Link's Awakening on the eShop.
Yes.
And they are both as good as they were when I played them on the Game Boy.
So you're saying Mario Land's still not that great?
Exactly. Yeah. That is exactly what I'm saying.
The physics, you know, I haven't played it in so long. Like, I own, like, the cartridge, but I haven't played it in so long. And I'm like, man, the physics in this game are fucked up.
They are.
Mario controls, it's like shit.
Yeah, it's a fun game, but, yes. I mean, the physics definitely, it just feels weird.
And it doesn't help that you can't remap controls on
yeah.
because like, using B and A at that angle on the 3DS is really weird, and I feel like some of my deaths can be attributed to the awkward controls.
Yeah, I really wish that they would make that, like, an option. I could understand it on the Virtual Console on the Wii. Because you could say that, like, they wanted to sell more classic controllers or something, but there's no reason for it.
Yeah, absolutely not. Well, simply because they don't want to take the resources to implement it. I can't imagine that it's that hard.
Yeah. I mean, they added that in, like, the Super Game Boy could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that on Super Mario also.
Well, I think that was a system-wide thing, though. I think that was, like, the actual, like, Super Game Boy doing that.
Yeah, but I mean, don't these virtual console games come like it's like bundled with like an emulator?
I think that's how
it was on the Wii. You
right,
think they
so
could just program
it
into the
input? Yeah, it would have to be part of like the SDK or something like that. And
you know what? I bet they don't want to like confuse people because like if something goes press B and then you're like pressing B and nothing's happening.
Yeah, but if you actually go into changing controls, you shouldn't be that dumb.
Yeah,
that's I'm just saying.
You might be right. You might be. Well, why
did
they leave all those print options in Link's Awakening then? Speaking of Link's Awakening and the controls, you know what? I never really liked the start button on the 3DS, but now I fucking loathe it having to use it so much Link's Awakening. I'm like, fuck, this is terrible.
Yeah.
When you use it to occasionally pause a game, you're like, oh, well, this isn't very good, but I can live with it. When you have to press it like every 8 seconds in like Link's Awakening, it's bullshit and I hate it.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, actually. I never noticed it. I'm not going to say I never noticed it, but it didn't bother me nearly as much until I was playing this. And I'm very glad that you can just suspend the game, because I don't want to imagine pressing A, B, start, and select at the same time on the 3DS.
Oh, I've tried it. It takes me roughly, like, 8 times before I can get it to go. You know, it's weird, though, on the 3DS. On Link's Awakening, I hit Y. That's select. That's map to select.
Really?
Yeah, that'll bring up your map in Link's Awakening. So, I don't know why, like, X can't be, like, start.
So if they can fucking do that, why can't they let you remap controls on your own?
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, next time you're playing Link's Awakening, hit... I don't know if it's universal, because I don't know what select does in, like, Mario.
Oh, you know what it probably is? No. Mm-hmm. X, if you hold it down, it brings up the touchscreen menu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it does what it would do if you touch the touchscreen.
If you
touch the touchscreen, it brings up the menu to, like...
Well, that's dumb. That's redundant and stupid. Get that the fuck out of there.
It's ridiculous.
No, those should be select and start, so I have to use those god awful buttons at the bottom. Or remap or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Have you tried playing it in the original resolution?
Yeah, it's a little too small for my case. It's really cool. It's an awesome novelty. Which, of course, they took the time to put that in there and not the fucking remappable controls. But it's really nice. It's a nice novelty, but I don't play it like that.
Yeah. It's really cool, though. Like, it's actually, like, subtly 3D, you know, sunk behind the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I've actually been playing it a little bit that way, but, yeah, it's really tiny.
What did you think of... I actually have an opinion on this, but I want to know what you think of Link's Awakening's $6 cost. Because there's been a lot of people are like, oh my god, $6.
I was surprised to hear it was a little more. But I think part of that is probably because it's a Game Boy Color game. I mean, I know that it's originally a Game Boy game, but, you know, Game Boy Color games will probably be more expensive when they start to show up. But I think Link's Awakening is worth it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think, like, because, like, I don't know what people were expecting. Were you expecting $4 or $5? Because, like, at that low of a price, what the fuck is $1 or $2 really even matter?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, when I was playing Super Mario Land, you know, it's an okay game. I mean, the physics are a little off. It's decent, but, I mean, it doesn't feel like a console game. You know, you look at something like Metroid 2, it's clearly been scaled down to be, like, more linear. Yeah. Link's Awakening feels like a console game to me. And I think it's definitely worth a couple dollars more than Super Mario Land.
I think the problem with that is I think it's exactly what, like, Reggie and Iwata were saying, that these $1 games on iOS totally devalue, you know, downloadable games. Like, so, yeah, you can get... you know, Angry Birds or whatever for a dollar. And it's totally worth that dollar. Angry Birds is a great game. But I don't think that means that, like, Link's Awakening should be, like, a dollar. I think it's totally worth the $6. Like, the quality difference is immense in games like that. I mean, even something more complex, Zenonia on iOS. Fun little game. That game actually came out at, like, $6 or $7 when it first came out. So you can even have a comparable game, but I still think Link's Awakening is quality-wise, way better. And definitely worth its price tag. But people look at these cheap... disposable games and they expect, like, other games to follow that model, and it's not there. So I think $6 is a very fair price. I mean, maybe if it was $8 or $10, maybe I can understand a little bit of grumbling, but $6 seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. But on the subject of price, it really pisses me off that virtual console games and eShop games have tax.
Well, you know, that's why oftentimes that was one of the biggest points behind using points. There's no tax.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they're actually using, you know, real monies, like, there it has to be taxed.
I understand that.
Is it taxed in every state? Because I could have swore some people were complaining about being taxed on the virtual console even.
Well, you pay tax when you purchase the points, like when you purchase the card. Or the block of points, but you're not charged, like, tax on the game itself because you're trading in those points that you paid for the game. You're not trading money for them. You're trading the points. So, yeah, you're charged tax when you purchase the points because that's the product. But after that point, now you're just trading funny money for games, so that's why you're not charged tax on top of that.
Yeah, that's something I kind of miss about the points. I wish they would charge you the tax, you know, when you add the money to your wallet. Because, for example, I bought Link's Awakening and Super Mario Land, which are $5.99
and $3.99,
but I had to spend $15.
Yeah.
I couldn't just spend the $10.
That's
you know,
true.
If they charged the tax, you know, when I had the money to my wallet, I could have just spent, you know, $10.30 or $10.50 or however much it is.
Well, the problem I have with – I don't mind adding funds to my wallet. I know some people do, and I understand that, but I don't mind. The reason why I do mind, though, is that – it becomes like these odd ball amounts. Like, nothing's even, and then you have the tax, and then you have, like, this weird change left over. So you always have, like, this weird odd balance in your wallet. Like, it's not even, you know? It doesn't break into it evenly. I think that's my problem with it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, even though we're using real money now, we're still going to have that problem.
Yep.
So I don't really see what the point was of changing the whole system.
I think just to make it more... intuitive. People understand money better than they understand points.
I guess, but, I mean, Nintendo's system was...
This is what people wanted. People were like, why am I using points? Well, now you understand why, because you weren't paying
people
tax.
Wanted to... People want to spend the exact amount. They didn't want to, like, have to add in funds in increments.
Well, that's true. I mean, but then there comes a point, like, what do you... I mean, yeah. People want everything.
Whatever.
Whatever. I agree.
Whatever.
It is a little awkward.
Yeah. But that's about all I've been playing.
Cool. So, I've been playing a little bit of Super Stardust HD on PS3. I love that game. I keep playing it. I keep coming back to it. I think it's awesome. Played a little bit of Wipeout. Actually, played a bunch of like downloadable games on PS3. I was just flipping through a bunch of them. Played a little bit of Wipeout. Had a lot of fun with that. Love Wipeout. Played a little bit of Fat Princess. Really enjoyed that. Played a little bit of Flower. And then played some Link's Awakening and Super Mario Land on the 3DS. And I played Renegade Kid's new game, ATV Wild Ride, on the DS.
How that?
That is actually, it's a pretty no-frills racer. I mean, it does have some depth to it, but I mean, it's a very simple racer, but it's really solidly made. Like, the graphics are nice, the controls are super smooth, runs at 60 frames per second. For a DS game, it looks great. You know, it's running on the Renegade engine. You do tricks, you get air, and then you do tricks using the shoulder buttons and then combinations of, like, the D-pad. And then you got to land them, otherwise, you know, you bone it. But doing tricks and doing more complex trips fills up your boost meter, so then you can use boosts in the race. So it's, to me, like, it reminds me a bit of, like, an off-road, like, Ridge Racer. And I mean that in the best way possible. There are different kinds of races. Your basic, like, race, come in first, whatever, second, get, you know, X amount of points for what place you come in. Then there are elimination races where, like, the last person crossing the finish line during a lap is eliminated. And then there are, I think they're called exhibition races here. But, like, you want to get the most amount of points in a certain amount of time with your tricks. But those ones are a bitch. Those are hard. I don't know what the fuck the AI is doing, but they're getting some crazy. Those ones are hard. So it does have a little bit of meat to it, and there are different racers and machines to unlock and plenty of different courses. So,
how's the track design?
Pretty good. Not super memorable. Some of them are recycled or, like, lengthened. Again, like Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer does the same thing. Then I think it's memorable while you're playing. Like, oh, yeah, I remember this track, so I remember this turn's coming up, and then it might add a little bit more to the track or something like that. So... super memorable? No, it's not like Mario Kart. They don't have that level of personality, but I think they're adequate. They're pretty good.
All right.
And I think it's a $20 game. I think it's an expensive game. So I think all in all, it's actually a pretty darn good game. And it's actually like I don't even think Renegade Kid knew when it was coming out. They got like Destineer to be the publisher, which I feel bad for them because like Destineer just puts out like crap. But no, it's a really good game. It's available on Amazon. That's where I got it. And I've heard some people were able to find it at Toys R Us as well. So, but it's pretty good.
I just thought of a game that all three of us probably played that we didn't mention. Excite Bike.
That's true. Yeah, we all play Excite. Yeah, it's Excite Bike.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about it. The 3D effect is nice in that game, though. It's really nice seeing that.
Yeah, I like the way it completely changes the camera.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
But, yeah, I'm still as awful at this game as I was when I was in 3.
Oh, I'm terrible.
So.
I am, too.
I'm so bad at it.
That's why I didn't bring it up.
I think it's, like, the dark purple and gray level, which is as far as I can make it. And then I can't beat that.
No.
It's, like, level 6. I don't know.
Well, I guess is that about it for all of us, then? We can wrap up this podcast.
This long-ass podcast.
This was E3 Blowout, motherfuckers. 2.5 hours. I hope people, like, actually, like, listen to this. Like, they look at the time. 2.5 hours. Deleted.
Yeah. Bullied. It's gone.
Yep. I hope people enjoy. Me, personally, like, if it's something I want to listen to, the length of time doesn't really matter to me if I find it interesting. But I don't know how interesting I find myself. I certainly want to listen to this.
I listen to us when I'm not on it.
Me, too. Oh, wait, so I guess I never listened to it then, huh? But, all right then. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Be sure to check out TVandLess.net for some great articles written by great people. And until next time, you guys take it easy.
Bye-bye.
See ya.